evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Chris Mavridis. Another audio tape posted on the Internet. And if this is Osama bin Laden, then this is big. Listen carefully. That's purportedly the al-Qaeda leader saying Zacharias Moussaoui was not part of the 9/11 attacks. Moussaoui was sentenced last month to life in prison. He told anyone who'd listen he was al-Qaeda. To fill up that tank, you've likely got to empty your pockets. Gas prices are ridiculous. No headline there. But do those high prices make economic sense, or are we being gouged? North Dakota Senator Byron Dorgan thinks so.
All the gain is on the side of the major oil companies. All the pain is on the side of the American consumers.
But the Federal Trade Commission says, wait a minute, they looked into the alleged gouging and didn't find any. Say it's all about supply and demand.
And when supply is tight, if you don't raise the price, you just simply run out of gasoline.
So gas prices are taking a big chunk out of your pocketbook. Where do you make it up? Well, that credit card deal you were emailed was pretty sweet. So was that Sure Thing sweepstakes. And how about that internet offer to help that Nigerian prince get all his money and pocket some for yourself? Too good to be true? The Attorney General says it was for nearly 3 million Americans.
These criminals use telemarketing, the internet, and mass mailings to cheat unsuspecting people through bogus investments, fake lotteries and sweepstakes schemes, phony credit cards, and tax frauds.
The feds busted that fraud ring with the help of authorities abroad. 565 people in five countries are now facing charges. It's believed that monumental fraud ring snarfed as much as $1 billion from unsuspecting folks. Over at the White House, Israel's Prime Minister dropped in for a visit and a chat with President Bush.
Today, Prime Minister Olmert shared with me some of his ideas. I would call them bold ideas. These ideas could lead to a two-state solution if a pathway to progress on the roadmap is not open in the period ahead.
They're talking about peace with the Palestinians. If it doesn't come soon, CBS's Bob Fuss says the American cash flow that flows through the Palestinian Authority may dry up.
The House bill would not only bar aid to the Palestinian Authority, but also cut off money to most of the private humanitarian groups working in the West Bank and Gaza, and deny visas for members of the Palestinian government to come to the U.S. The Bush administration has already done a lot of this, but strongly opposes this bill because it takes away the president's power to change the sanctions as conditions change.
On Wall Street, the Dow lost nearly 27 points in trading today. The Nasdaq fell about 14. This is CBS News.
Where do you want to be?
I'll bet you a dollar if we look on Remax.com, we'll just find Remax listings.
I bet you're wrong.
Okay, let's see. Remax, somebody else, somebody else.
Looks like all the listings to me.
Why would Remax do that?
To give us consumers what we want.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, way cool.
Just like you.
Yeah, thanks, but you still owe me a dollar.
Find your perfect place. It's easier than ever at Remax.com. Nobody sells more real estate than Remax. Each office independently owned and operated.
Somewhere between what a person is saying and what they're not saying, between what a person wants and what they need, lies understanding. For every client, everywhere, UBS has the distinct ability to listen, but more importantly, the commitment to understand. UBS, leader in wealth management, global asset management, and investment banking, and committed to a relationship we call you and us. Member SIPC.
Looking for a new gig? Now's the time.
Across the
board, there are jobs.
Of course, some industries offer more opportunities. Michael Irwin with CareerBuilder.com.
You're always going to have more jobs in healthcare with the aging population.
Others include information technology, sales, and finance. Now, those don't exactly sound like novice-friendly fields, but Irwin says any experience can be an asset.
Even though it might be a completely different field, the skills that you have and the knowledge that you have can work in the new job.
And those can pay off.
You're going to get some extra perks that an entry-level person is not going to get.
Eve Chen for CBS News, Washington.
News junkie? Nerd. I'm not even one of those. But if you are, the Newseum's the place for you. The News Museum's currently in Arlington, Virginia, but moving to more spacious digs in D.C. It'll cost a pretty penny, about $500 million to build it, so some of the biggest names in news have stepped up, donating some big cash. $52 million in all from the New York Times and the Post and NBC. Five other companies anteed up, too. I'm Chris Mavridis. I didn't. CBS News.
Aflac for Small Business, how can I help you?
Yeah, you cover small business?
Yes, we do.
Great, because I'm an ant.
Okay.
I got a tunneling business, you dig?
How many employees?
Well, it's a family-run business, just me and my aunts.
Well, with Aflac for Small Business, you can enjoy a lot of the benefits of a big business.
Great.
Just call 1-800-99-AFLAC.
Did that.
Or go to aflacsb.com. Aflac for Small Business, because small business needs...
Aflac!
Too.
Gotta run. Company picnic.
American Family Life Insurance Company of Columbus. Aflac.
Hello and welcome back to Ask the Orkin Man.
Orkin Man, I'm president of the Science Fiction Club.
Oh, fantastic.
We are armed and ready for the invasion.
Okay, now just be careful. Invaders, like roaches, can carry germs and diseases.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, if only I had a Silurian photon blaster.
I know, but at Orkin, we prefer baits with gels. We've been fighting invasions for over 100 years.
Oh, wait till I tell the other warlords.
Just teleport carefully.
Protect your home, protect your family. Orkin can help. Call 1-800-ORKIN-MAN.
Welcome to today's edition of the Peter B. Collins Show, live, unscripted, unrehearsed. 3 hours of progressive talk coming your way. Next hour, Robert Scheer of TruthDig.com is going to join us. He's got some comments for you. Jason Leopold will update us on the Rove indictment. Where is it? Melanie Sloan will be here later on to talk about Thomas. No, his name's William Jefferson. I'm sorry. He's the guy who keeps his cold cash from bribes in the freezer. It's all ahead here on the PBC show today. As always, you are welcome to join the conversation at any moment. All you got to do is pick up your phone and call me. On the Central Coast, 831-899-5792 is our number. Or you can call me toll-free from anywhere within the sound of my voice. That's 1-888-579-2540. And you can drop me an email, peter@peterbcollins.com. To get us started today, a little traveling music from Neil Young's new CD. That's the title track called Living with War, and I think it's the perfect setup for our first guest this entire hour. Lieutenant Paul Rykoff is the founder of Iraq and Afghanistan Vets of America. He is also the author of a powerful new book called Chasing Ghosts, the subtitle A Soldier's Fight for America from Baghdad to Washington. I've been talking with Paul Rykoff for several years, and after reading his book, it just deepens my respect for him. And thanks for sharing all your escapades in the area of the Tigris and Euphrates rivers, Paul.
Thank you for having me on to talk about it, Peter. You know, it's really been a pleasure to talk to you over the last couple of years. And I think now you understand a little bit more where this all came from, where the fire and some of the angriness, I guess, came from and what led us to start this organization.
And not to suspect about your writing skills, but was there a ghostwriter here, or did you do this all yourself?
No, I did it all myself. They wanted to give me a ghostwriter early on, but I was really focused on trying to make sure it was my voice and my pen. And most of the stories in the book came from letters that I had written home to my girlfriend about every other day, mm-hmm. patrol logs, and just some journals I was keeping while I was on the ground. And when I got home, it was just a matter of trying to pull it all together and create a narrative and create some kind of connective tissue to pull it all together.
Well, unfortunately, you and I have never met face-to-face, but I do recognize your voice, not just from the interviews we've done, but it's very authentic in the book, including the strong language that soldiers use on a regular basis. If people are easily offended by MFs and things like that, maybe you ought to put out a G-rated version. But
yeah.
I think the book really captures the environment, the context, the mindset that you and your fellow troops experienced during your 14 months deployed there in Iraq.
Well, thanks. I mean, it was really tough to try to capture, you know, the way we talk and the way we interact and the music we listen to and what it feels like and smells like. But, you know, it was important that I show it truthfully. And I think, you know, the language is part of that. And I start the book with a quote from Tim O'Brien when he says, "Send guys to war and they come home talking dirty." And he wrote The Things They Carried and was a great Vietnam writer and had a tremendous influence on me, both as a soldier and as a writer. But it's been said that, you know, in the infantry, our favorite weapon is the F-bomb. We like dropping F-bombs all over the place. So, you know, the book reflects that. And I think it's just tried to do a, you know, a truthful account of what life is like, and I hope it rings true to people.
And are there actually bunker busting F-bombs available?
I'm telling you, I've seen some big ones. I've seen some big ones, and you know, the one I start the book out with might definitely be a bunker buster. I start out by saying George Bush had better be bleeping right,
yeah.
And I wanted a line that captured people's attention and also showed them the urgency of what I was feeling and what I was thinking.
Mm-hmm. Well, Pooh Bear, if I may. Everybody gets a nickname, and I just imagine when you're on patrol, it might get a little confusing. You either have to use all nicknames or all real names, or wouldn't people get a little confused, you know, if you use the wrong nickname?
Sometimes. I don't know. We have a way of oversimplifying it, I think, in the heat of the moment. You know, we can be pretty direct about making sure the other guy understands who you're talking to. But nicknames are a part of, I think, the ribbing that goes on in any military unit, you know, whether it's an infantry unit like mine or any other kind of unit. And, you know, guys are creative. And one thing I wanted to show, too, was the humor. You know, there is a lot of humor that takes place as, you know, partially a coping mechanism and also part of just the bond you develop among soldiers. But, you know, I think that's the side of the story that people haven't really seen in the past yet either.
We're talking with Paul Rykoff. He's the founder of IAVA, which is Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America. And he's been on our program many times. Now he's got a powerful new book out called Chasing Ghosts, and that's what we're discussing today. If you have a question or comment, you can join us anytime this hour. You know the number, 888-579-2540, toll free. Now, your story is interesting, and I picked up a lot of new details, Paul, from reading the book. You graduated from Amherst. You had a gig on Wall Street, and you didn't really care for that very much. You quit that job just a few days before 9/11, and then you actually were there side by side with police and firemen during the grisly days after the Twin Towers came down.
Yeah, I hated being on Wall Street. It was you know, I learned a lot and I made a good bit of money and was able to take care of my family a bit and pay some bills, but it wasn't the right fit for me and I quit, you know, figuring I was going to do something else and do some traveling and maybe go to grad school, and then 9/11 happened and I lived on 24th Street on the east side of Manhattan and was very close by to what was going on, and immediately I hooked up with a few other guys I served with in the National Guard and we went down to just try to do what we could. In those opening days, it was chaos and it was gruesome, and at the same time, it was really miraculous to see everybody come together and try to do something good and try to save other people. And you know, if anything good did come out of 9/11, it was the miraculous way people from different political backgrounds, you know, different racial backgrounds, all different types of people working together to try to achieve a common goal. And it really showed me the dedication that people can have under tremendous circumstances and very tough adversity.
So after 9/11, you're there really working at ground zero. At what point did you decide, I want to go get me a piece of whoever did this?
Oh, probably that day. I mean, I never thought that I'd be wearing camouflage in my uniform, you know, in the southern tip of Manhattan. Of all places that we train for, you never imagine you're going to be serving downtown Manhattan with a gaping hole and planes just, you know, sliding overhead, F-14 circling the river. It was really a surreal experience, but we were all ready for payback. And we didn't know who at the time it was, and we didn't know when it was going to come, but I think all of us who wore uniform and a lot of us who didn't, we're ready to just punch back. And I think immediately I volunteered to go to Afghanistan and ultimately anywhere else they were going to send me.
And had you done ROTC at Amherst?
No, I enlisted after I graduated Amherst in 1998 and went in as an enlisted soldier. Okay. That's the way my father went in and my grandfather went in, and I felt if I was going to be an officer one day, I needed to understand where the enlisted soldiers were coming from. So I went through basic training and advanced individual training like most other soldiers, and then finally went to officer candidate school and got my commission in July of 2001.
Okay. And what was your sense before you, you know, actually were deployed and flew to Kuwait to wait? What was your sense about what you really thought you were going to do, and did any of that actually happen?
Well, you know, initially we wanted to punch back for 9/11. I think that was the initial motivation, and then it's why so many of us wanted to be a part of Afghanistan and why I supported that invasion. But, you know, after Afghanistan, we saw this shifting rationale for war, and I think President Bush tried a few different methods to convince the American people that we should be going into Iraq. You know, first it was the connection to 9/11, and he never really substantiated that, and then he told us about how bad of a guy Saddam was and how he'd gassed his own people. I think most Americans agreed Saddam was a bad guy, but they weren't willing to send their kids halfway around the world to get rid of them. And then ultimately they went with the weapons of mass destruction, and I think they convinced a lot of people around the world that Saddam was a legitimate threat, and he scared, you know, little old ladies in Topeka, Kansas into thinking that Saddam had the capacity to reach out and blow up their PTA meetings. And I wrote in the book that George Bush had better be right, because the way I saw it, he was betting the house on the mother of all poker games.
Well, let me read a couple of paragraphs here, because I think this is very powerful, and it sets, I think, a good tone for your whole approach to your love of your country and your sense of duty and wanting to fight for our country and defend us, and also your sense that you, like the rest of us, were misled by this president. Quote from Paul Rykoff's book, "I prayed that Bush was right about Saddam's WMD. He had abandoned diplomacy and essentially told the world to F off. I wanted weapons of mass destruction to exist in Iraq, because if they didn't, there would be hell to pay for all of us. America's reputation would be irreparably damaged for generations. If Bush was wrong, thousands of American troops would die for a mistake, and the Iraq War would be one of the greatest foreign policy disasters in our nation's history. The decision to invade Iraq was the mother of all poker games. Bush was betting the house on this one, this one hand. He must have the cards to back it up," I wrote. "So my entire role in the war was a paradox. Against the war from the beginning, I volunteered to go fight in it. I feared that President Bush's decision to invade Iraq was not in the best interest of our country, but I desperately wanted to be a part of that invasion. I was torn in half, wrestling with my hunger for combat and my distrust for the president. But I would not let doubt drive me to sit on the sidelines for the biggest game of my generation. On the contrary, I volunteered to be one of the first to fight. This war was happening whether I liked it or not. Protesting the war in Washington or New York wouldn't stop it from happening now." There's a couple of very powerful paragraphs there, Paul.
Yeah, well, that's where I was in the moment, and that's where my headspace was. And you know, I was against this war, and I didn't think it was in our country's best interest. But, you know, those of us in the military knew it was coming. I think, you know, the summer before the war, we were pretty clearly shown that this war was going to happen. And I had to figure out how I was going to be able to make an impact. I knew that, you know, sitting in Union Square in New York or on the lawn in Washington with a poster protesting the invasion wasn't going to stop it. It was going to happen. And as a member of the military, I was going to be a part of it sooner or later. So I figured it might as well be on my terms rather than Uncle Sam's, and wanted to be a part of that invasion. And I didn't have a crystal ball, but I thought there'd be a time when we could make a positive impact on the ground and try to help the Iraqi people, and also that I could lead soldiers well. It was what I volunteered to do, and it was a part of my contract, and I wanted to honor that. And you know, this was still 2003. We didn't know there were no weapons of mass destruction. We didn't know how this was going to turn out. And I think a lot of us were optimistic, but we quickly found out that this thing was unraveling day to day, and we were in for a really tough fight.
We're going to pick up there as we continue. Lieutenant Paul Rykoff, the new book, Chasing Ghosts, A Soldier's Fight for America from Baghdad to Washington. Your calls and comments are welcome. Join me right now, Central Coast, 831-899-5792, or toll-free from elsewhere, 1-888-579-2540. You're listening to The Peter B. Collins Show. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
He's not just another gardener in another garden. Dave Egbert is the Coastal Gardener. Follow Dave each week to unique destination gardens and nurseries. Discover creek plants, garden tips, and fun celebrity garden visits.
Join Dave, the Coastal Gardener, every Sunday at 6:30 p.m. on ABC 7.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and fun in the Monterey Bay Area. I interview authors, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make Monterey and our region such a delicious slice of our Tasty Planet. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty news shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Let's do it.
And my guest is Lieutenant Paul Rykoff. His new book is called Chasing Ghosts, A Soldier's Fight for America from Baghdad to Washington. He was there at Ground Zero after 9/11, volunteered for duty, and he's a thoughtful man who has gone on to raise a lot of important questions about the way this administration has equipped the troops, the plan of the invasion, and, of course, Donald Rumsfeld's determination to keep troop levels low. the issues related to personal armor and equipment. Paul Rykoff has been a real strong advocate for the interests of those who are still serving and those who have returned from service in Iraq. And this is a powerful new book that details his experiences there over a 14-month period. Paul, when you first were shipped over, they didn't tell you how long it would be, but you didn't think it would be 14 months, did you?
No, I certainly didn't. I spent altogether it was 14 months and about 10 on the ground in Iraq. But, you know, when we left, they told us to plan for 3 to 6 months, but I don't think anybody really knew. And, you know, internally, we used to jokingly say, you know, we could be going on the world tour after this. After we get to Baghdad, we can make the big right turn and head over to Iran, or we could be headed to Korea. You know, that was still an option back then. But we initially planned for 3 to 6 months. It's what we told our families. And I think that was seen through the lens a lot of what happened in the first Gulf War, where it was a pretty quick thing. And people in Washington were saying that the insurgency didn't even mention the word insurgency, you know.
Right.
The Saddam regime was supposed to fall over pretty quickly, and we thought we'd be home soon. So it definitely wasn't in our consideration that we'd be there years later, and definitely not in the minds of our families.
What was the first indication to you that things were not going according to plan?
There was a moment that crystallized in my head, Peter, and it was when we first got to Baghdad. We climbed up the Ministry of Finance building, and I write about this a bit in the book, too. And I went up there with one of my sniper teams and one of my squad leaders, and it was one of the tallest buildings in the area. And we looked out from on the rooftop, and we were trying to get vantage points and set up our machine gun positions. And as we looked across the city, there was still some sporadic firefighting and smoke. And we looked across the city, and it really seemed kind of empty. And one of my squad leaders turned to me and said, "Hey, sir, where the hell is everybody else?" And I said, you know, that's a good question. And there was nobody else. There weren't humanitarian aid workers streaming in. There weren't military police. And we really were deep within Indian country is how we felt. And we recognized at that point, and it crystallized in my mind, that we were going to be on an island and in for a long, tough fight.
Mm-hmm. And as things continued to go kind of south, where you were there much longer, things were much tougher, riskier than you expected, Often troops were assigned to duties that they had not been trained for. As this started to add up, did you and your troops personalize this and blame Rumsfeld or a specific general? Was it personalized in target toward George W. Bush? How did you handle it?
Well, I think it was really in all those directions. You know, we weren't thrilled with the administration, especially after the weapons of mass destruction argument didn't pan out, because we were looking everywhere for months. I mean, we were looking under overpasses, you know, behind chicken coops, anywhere you could hide something, we were looking for weapons of mass destruction. But what really, really ticked guys off were some of the equipment issues. You know, not having adequate body armor. My platoon didn't have it. 40,000 other troops didn't have it. The vehicle issues just seemed to boggle our mind, you know, that we couldn't get better armored vehicles, that we had to use old flak jackets and tie them onto the side and put sandbags in the floors. Communications equipment. My guys went to Walmart and bought Motorola walkie-talkies so we could communicate. We couldn't get AA batteries. It really frustrated us. And at the time, we didn't know who to blame. But, you know, over the years now, we recognize that there have been dramatic failures, you know, all the way up to the top. And, you know, we mentioned Rumsfeld. I don't know how this guy still has a job. I mean, with all the failures and all the miscues, he's not running a McDonald's here. He's the Secretary of Defense. And with all these mistakes, you think he could get fired and we could replace him with somebody else. In a country of 300 million people, there should be, you know, a few other smart people we could put in his spot.
Well, you're right about that. Paul, recently, of course, Rumsfeld has been on the defensive. Retired generals, General Batiste was on television again last night with powerful indictments of Mr. Rumsfeld and a continuing demand for his resignation. And as he's defended himself, one of the things he said, which I found disingenuous, was, well, gosh, you know, if you think I lied about the WMD, look at the troops who had their ABC suits on, and they didn't do that for fun in 100-degree weather in the desert, as they marched into Baghdad. Well, I consider that to be a cruel hoax on our troops, to expose them to the risk at a time when our intelligence indicated that there really wasn't such a risk. So was that Rumsfeld not concerned about your exposure to chemical or biological weapons? Or do you think he was secure in the knowledge that you faced no real risk?
You know, I've given up trying to look inside that man's head, but I know one thing. You know, he argues about whether or not he lied, and we talk about whether or not he lied and whether or not Bush lied, and I think that's important ultimately, but I think what we can all agree on right now is that they were wrong. they were dead wrong about the weapons of mass destruction, about the post-war planning, about the insurgency, and there needs to be accountability for failure. We talk about Rumsfeld being on the defensive. Well, it's about time. Now he knows what we felt like being in Iraq for a year. And when you hear generals come out and start to criticize Rumsfeld, we should listen to what they have to say. General Batiste isn't just throwing, you know, political rocks at Rumsfeld for fun. The man commanded the first Infantry Division on the ground in Iraq. He knows what he's talking about. And when a general who's commanded a division in Iraq starts calling for the Secretary of Defense's head, we should listen to him. And I think that there's a groundswell within the military that's had it with Rumsfeld, that's had it with this administration, and is concerned about not only the plight of what's going on in Iraq, but how they've ultimately endangered our overall national security.
We'll continue in just a moment. Yep. Lieutenant Paul Rykoff, Chasing Ghosts is the book. Your calls and comments are welcome here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
No matter where you are in Monterey County, you deserve to be in a safe environment. Robert Owen, who is running for Monterey County Sheriff, has concern about the recent serious injuries sustained by inmates within the Monterey County Jail. Robert Owen is a dedicated, long-term employee of the Monterey County Sheriff's Department. Robert Owen has worked as a jail sergeant for over 26 years and has 31 years of service as a Monterey County Sheriff. Robert Owen is concerned about the retention of deputies in the Monterey County Sheriff's Department. Robert Owen is so concerned that he is running for Monterey County Sheriff and personally financing his campaign. He will not be obligated to any special interest groups.
This is Robert Owen, and I am asking for your vote for Monterey County Sheriff on June 6th.
Your vote matters. On June 6th, please vote Robert Owen, Monterey County Sheriff.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale with a brand new reality radio show every Saturday evening, 6 to 7, right here on AM 540 KRXA. We'll have colorful, interesting guests, and we'll take your calls. There's no subject we won't explore together. So join us this Saturday night, 6 to 7, on Reality Radio with Sheila Gale on Progressive Talk Radio, AM 540 KRXA.
Tom Hartman.
So today, Alberto Gonzalez comes out and says that he's been watching child porn, and he describes it extremely graphically. In fact, so graphically that, frankly, I don't want to quote the Attorney General.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
It reminds me of Ed Meese. He created this Meese Commission on Pornography, and he came out and announced that he had watched over 800 hours of pornography, and they were convinced that watching pornography destroys people's minds. Then, Ed, why don't you check yourself into a hospital?
Tom Hartman on KRXA 540. Tom Hartman.
The damage that this administration has done in just 5 years is mind-boggling.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
As a bit of a student of history, I don't think that we have ever had an administration that has done so much harm to the United States of America as this administration, as the Bush administration, to our reputation abroad, to our body politic at home. I mean, it is absolutely mind-boggling.
Tom Hartman, live every morning 9 to noon on KRXA 540, the new Radio Free America.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special, and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
Would you like to be part of a conversation that might not only inspire your golf game, but have you thinking differently about sports, about learning, and about performance? Join golf pro and best-selling author Fred Shoemaker on KRXA 540 Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. for Extraordinary Golf, some uncommon conversations about golf, and maybe even a little beyond golf. Extraordinary Golf, Saturday mornings on KRXA 540 at 8 a.m.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Coming up next hour, Robert Scheer, journalist, commentator, and a professor of journalism at USC, will join us. He's got a new book out called Playing President. Jason Leopold returns next hour with an update on the proceedings that implicate Karl Rove. And we're also going to talk about the Enron trial that's wrapping up in Houston. And we're probable for Melanie Sloan from Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. She'll kick off our third hour coming up a little bit later on. We continue now with Lieutenant Paul Rykoff, his new book called Chasing Ghosts, A Soldier's Fight for America from Baghdad to Washington. And it's out in hardcover right now from the New American Library. And our music of the moment is called The Road to Hell. This is Chris Rea, a British blues man. And, Paul, did you kind of think you were on the road to hell there? I mean, the high temperatures, the crossfire that you endured, the sandstorms and living conditions. You went from, tedium and boredom to, life-threatening patrols on the streets and ambushes from people who didn't support your presence there. Was it hellish in your mind?
Yeah, sometimes it was. It certainly wasn't fun. I think that's for sure. It's a complex and dangerous environment that changes from day to day. And that's one of the other reasons I really wanted to write this book, is to give people a sense of what it's like to be there, what it's like to kick in a door, what it's like to be on a checkpoint, what it's like to endure that type of a situation. And also, what are people thinking at the time? What is it like to interact with the Iraqi people? That's a big part of the book as well, is trying to show what the other side is like. Because I think, most Americans think every Iraqi is running around with an RPG or rocket-propelled grenade on their shoulder, and that's just not the case. Some of them are, but there's also a tremendous amount of interaction that goes on between Americans and Iraqis, and I wanted to tell a bit of their story.
I think you also depict soldiers with a level of complexity, and you distinguish between different characteristics. And all too often, troops are just seen as monolithic slugs, and you talk about how smart some of them are, how much reading goes on there. And I want to ask you about this next, because you in one portion of the book here, you talk a little bit about a quiz that you gave, the Kuwaiti quiz night. And you asked your fellow troops, pardon me, who the current vice president is. Answers included Joe Lieberman, Don Rumsfeld, George Bush. 60% got it wrong. What's the capital of New York? Only about 5% got it right. And some people said Connecticut.
Yeah, New York's a tough one, though. A lot of people in New York get that one wrong. But it was a way for us to keep ourselves entertained while the guys were on guard duty. But I was constantly quizzing my guys and trying to get them more familiar with the region and the culture. And anything I could do to try to keep them active on late-night patrols and late-night checkpoints was a good thing. But I think what it revealed to me is how little we really knew about the region and how little we knew about what we were getting ourselves into. And I think that reflected once we hit the ground. We didn't speak Arabic. We didn't understand the culture. We didn't have adequate interpreters, and in many ways we had to learn on the job, and that's not how we can be successful there. I think in order to be successful, we have to understand all the different cultural dynamics, and because we didn't, it really painted us into a tough corner, especially in that first summer in 2003.
And as recently as a couple of months ago, a poll of the troops indicated that well over 70% thought that Saddam had something to do with 9/11.
Yeah. Well, the messaging machine coming out of the White House is incredibly effective and powerful. I think we've realized that by now. And most of the American people for a long time thought there was a connection and was, I think, misinformed about the realities. But, the troops are in an even tougher situation because so many of them are deployed for a greater part of the last few years, because they're not exactly, tied to the latest news out of Washington and anywhere else. They're kind of operating in a vacuum. They do keep informed as much as possible, but they're also getting a constant flow of rhetoric and verbiage from the Department of Defense and from the Army. So, they're often misinformed, but they try to do the best they can to be better connected. But like a lot of the American people, I think they have a real lack of information about what's going on over there and also how we got there.
Well, and you describe, this is kind of a silly story, but at one point one of your troops got word that Jennifer Lopez had been killed in a car accident. It certainly wasn't and is not true. But that passed like wildfire through the troops.
Yeah, the rumor mill is a powerful thing among the troops. And when we were trapped in Kuwait, staging to go into Iraq, that the rumor run around that J-Lo and Ben Affleck had been killed in a car accident. And it was devastating the morale. People were actually really upset about it. But I think it shows how, you know, especially in the run-up to the war, how removed we were from the dialogue back home, how removed we were from America. And you know, when you're over there, you're trying to reach for straws and trying to keep some kind of connection to what's going on back home. But, you know, you're focused on the job at hand. You're doing long patrols, and you don't have internet access or regular phone calls. And you know, in many ways, you're really disconnected from what's happening back in the world.
Mike in Monterey, join us here on the Peter B. Collins Show with Paul Rykoff.
Hi, Peter. Hi, LT. How you doing? I'm an Iraq war vet myself. I was over there 2003-2004 time frame. And I, one thing I run into a lot of times, and I get this from my Republican friends and stuff is, and I was hoping, and it sounded like you just touched base on it, but I try to get across to people that when you're over, things that are said by politicians that oppose the war or oppose the administration, Republicans seem to insist that this diminishes the morale of the troops when, from my experiences, and I'd like you to speak to your own, it's just not true. We don't really pay attention to it. We just try to get through the day and just get home rather than focusing in on what that is. It's mainly the sentiment that I always got about it, and, you know, kind of one of the things that was an underlying feeling of me was that stuff well above my pay grade. The only thing I can do about it is vote. And I was wondering if you could talk about that, too.
Appreciate you bringing that up, Mike. Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, I think you bring up a great point, Mike. And guys like me and you need to be a part of this dialogue. I think that's another reason why I wrote this book, to help people understand that this stuff doesn't affect our morale. I think, you know, people say that something Murtha says is going to affect the morale of a brigade from the 82nd in Afghanistan. I think that's just baloney. It's just not true. You know, we are focused on the job at hand. And if you want to talk about things that affect morale, well, let's talk about the overextension of the military that's sending people back for a third and fourth time. Let's talk about the climbing divorce rate. Let's talk about the body armor and vehicle armor problems. Let's talk about the flawed rationale for war. I think all those things have a lot more to do with the morale than what some politicians saying back in Washington. We're really, you know, not that concerned with the dialogue. And you know, that's why we joined the military, so people can have a dialogue and have a discussion. And there's no more important time to have that than a time of war.
And I'm in the same boat as you with as the staunch reporter of Afghanistan. But I really very hesitant on the Iraq war. But what people don't seem to understand, and sometimes I'll get from my, you know, radical liberal friends, is well, why'd you go in the first place if you didn't agree with it? And what I don't think a lot of people understand is when you're in that position, you're torn between a couple things. And one, you touch base, is you agreed to do this, you know, regardless of your political affiliations, that you would go to war for the country. And I personally felt that I didn't trust anybody else with my troops, and I couldn't just leave my troops at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I actually, you know, I was one of the ones that volunteered to go too.
And Mike, as one of those lefties that I think you're kind of referring to, I just want to say that I really appreciate what you and Paul Rykoff did, and I can separate the wayward policies of this administration from your love and loyalty for our country and the sense of duty that you feel to serve and to serve with honor. And there are a lot of people who, particularly on the right, try to deny people like me, the legitimacy of those feelings, those views. And I feel fervently that I can oppose this president and the mistakes that he has made, call for accountability, call for change in policy, and never once operate or speak in a manner that is disloyal to the troops on the ground. And it seems like you two gentlemen do appreciate that and understand the dichotomy if it rises to that level.
Yeah.
But too many people, you know, including the loudmouths on television from the right, try to suppress any real dialogue or conversation about these issues. And, Paul, you point out that you went to the war theater, with a lot of things, but one of them was a speech from Senator Robert Byrd,
yeah,
who decried the lack of debate, the silence that preceded this president's decision to take us into a unilateral war of choice.
Yeah, It was an important speech that resonated with me, and that's why I put it in the book. And but what I think you and Mike both touch on is an important subject. Mike, you know, you're not alone. I catch more flack from the far left, to be honest with you, than I do from the far right. And I think a lot of it just comes out of ignorance. They don't know enough about the military. And some folks in the peace community have this idea that, you know, we joined up to fight to go kill babies in Iraq. And that's just not the case. I mean, we don't pick when and where we go to fight. And to be honest with you, you don't want your military picking when and where they go to fight, because that's going to set a dangerous precedent. We join to preserve and defend the Constitution at the will of the American people. So, you know, we don't determine when and where we go to fight. So don't blame us for the policy. And I think it's important that people have been able now in this generation, for the most part, to separate the war from the warriors. But remember, a lot of us joined before 9/11. A lot of us joined before the Iraq War. And we don't necessarily support the Bush administration. We don't necessarily support this agenda. But we, you know, we have a job to do, and we're going to do it. And I think we need people to remember that.
Mike, have you joined IAVA?
No. This is actually one of the first I've heard of it. So
all right. Well, why don't you check out, no pressure here, but check out their website. It's IAVA.org.
Okay, will do.
All right, but thanks for your call today.
Thank you, Peter. Thank you, LT.
My pleasure.
Thanks, Mike.
Paul Rykoff will continue in just a moment, and if you have a question or comment, there's still room for your call. He's with us till the top of the hour, 831-899-5792, or toll-free, 888-579-2540. This book is a must-read, Chasing Ghosts by Paul Rykoff. We'll continue in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, this is Ed Schultz, America's number one progressive talker. Join me every weekday from noon to 3 here on KRXA 540. I'm based in Fargo, North Dakota, and we bring you news and views from the heartland of America. I'm fighting the righties every day on behalf of the working people who've made the nation great. Tell your friends to listen. Give me a call toll-free, 1-877-934-6833. The Ed Schultz Show, noon to 3 on KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day, 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
And the Peter B. Show. Let me try that again. The Peter B. Collins Show continues. I'm your humbled host, Peter B. And we continue with Lieutenant Paul Rykoff. He is the founder of the Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans Association. Do I have that right? No, it's Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America, IAVA.org, and the author of this new book called Chasing Ghosts, A Soldier's Fight for America from Baghdad to Washington. And, Paul, one of the things that you detail in the book is the way you and all the grunts who are with you run around with your headsets and your favorite music, a lot of heavy metal and kind of thrash-type rock and roll. And Rumsfeld recently talked about how different this war is because of blogs. And then he kind of almost hurled his lunch as he said, digital cameras. Were you and all your guys packing digital cameras, and would you have taken pictures at Abu Ghraib if you'd been assigned there?
We didn't all have digital cameras to start with. I think during the invasion, a lot of guys had disposable cameras, and we kind of evolved into the digital cameras. And they really became a pretty essential part of our day-to-day life. Guys were taking pictures of all kinds of stuff. I don't know. I don't think I would have taken pictures of it. If I was at Abu Ghraib, I would have knocked those guys in the mouth. I mean, that's what I would have been doing. But people took pictures of casualties and took pictures of missions, sometimes for tactical reasons, so that you could try to archive and chronicle what happened and have documentation. But some of it's just to capture the experience and I think as a coping mechanism so that you can help people to understand what's really happening over there. The technology really is unprecedented, from blogs to digital cameras to cell phones. I mean, it's the only war where you can go out and patrol, you know, get shot at, and then come home and ask your wife how her day was. Yeah. It's really a unique dynamic that's different from past wars.
And is there some kind of an internet underground related to those who've served in Iraq, passing around some of these pictures, some of which are pretty gruesome?
I think there is.
And sharing their experiences?
Yeah, I think there is. You know, that's how the Abu Ghraib pictures eventually got out. Funny pictures, gruesome pictures, you know, beautiful pictures. They're all different kinds of images coming out of Iraq, and I think it's a way to achieve some level of commonality. And there are also, you know, a network of bloggers that are coming out of Iraq, both Iraqi civilians and military, that are really powerful and insightful. And people should Google the Mudville Gazette or check out our website, IAVA.org. There are some blogs listed there. And that's the closest I think you can really get to real-time information and to being on the ground is the perspective of these bloggers. The Department of Defense knocks a lot of them down pretty much as soon as they pop up, but there are new ones every day, and some of these soldiers and Marines are really incredible writers.
Mm-hmm. And do you spend a lot of time checking that out?
I do. It's a good way to stay connected, and some of my friends are over there and write blogs, and you know, it's a way to keep my finger on the pulse of what's happening. And I'm in regular contact with two of my Iraqi interpreters as well, who are unfortunately still in central Baghdad, but they give me a good sense of what's happening day to day, and I can email them and say, hey, you know, what's going on today? It's really a strange, almost surreal level of connectivity, but I think it's the closest you can get to being on the ground.
I want to ask you just to briefly describe a couple of things that I think are worth mentioning that I pulled out of the book. One is a situation where you believe one of your troops shot himself in order to get out of the war and be medevaced back home.
Yeah, I had a young specialist who was assigned to my platoon who was going through a lot of stuff in his head. He clearly had some mental health issues and I think was wrestling with post-traumatic stress disorder and wasn't really integrating well with the guys. He was nervous, and to top it all off, his wife left him. And he really was just torn apart by that. While we were over there and you find out your wife's leaving you, there's not a whole lot you can do. And he wanted to go home to deal with it, and obviously the Army wouldn't let him. And he was determined to find a way home. And after I exhausted every option through the chaplain and through the battalion surgeon, he finally took it upon himself to take out his service revolver or his 45 and shoot himself in the leg. He knew it was going to send him home, and he knew where not to shoot to avoid the artery and vein, and he went home. You know, he came back a few months later. Ironically, the Army did send him back, but I think what it illustrates is the tremendous mental health toll of this war and the inadequacies that we have on the ground with regard to being able to respond and deal with them.
Do you have any concerns about exposure to depleted uranium?
I do. I think a lot of us do. Depleted uranium is an important subject that we need to investigate. I think it's one of those strange topics that we don't have enough hard data on. And I think, you know, some folks on the far left will tell you, you know, it's poisoning everybody, and people on the far right can tell you can put it in your coffee. And we don't know how dangerous it is right now. A lot of the science is coming out of Europe and hasn't really been accepted in the American standard. So I think what we need is a GAO study. We need congressional investigations. Let's find out how many people are affected by DU, how extensive it is, because we don't want to make the same mistake we made with Vietnam and Agent Orange. We don't want to wait 10, 15 years to find out that this is going to give people cancer or affect birth defects and things like that. And it's a topic we need further investigation on, definitely.
Paul, tell us about the loss of Sergeant Major Cook and your Christmas in Iraq.
That was probably the low point of my time in Iraq. We went on a mission on Christmas Eve, a massive mission, and Sergeant Major Cook was the senior enlisted guy in our brigade and one of the most respected soldiers I'd ever been around. He was really, you know, what a non-commissioned officer is all about. And he was riding in an unarmored Humvee a few hundred meters in front of my platoon that was torn apart by a roadside bomb. And he was killed on Christmas Eve, and it was a devastating blow to our unit. The way some of the guys described it, you know, we'd been trying to get the 52 cards in the deck on the Iraqi side, and when they got Sergeant Major Cook, they got one of our cards, and it was a tremendous blow to the unit morale, and it was a tremendous loss to our country. And I think is, you know, you don't hear much about the personal stories behind these people who were killed and wounded in action. And Sergeant Major Cook is somebody we're going to miss forever, and was a really incredible soldier and an incredible leader.
On a little bit lighter note, I found out in the book that you and I do have something in common, and that is I love Katz's Deli on Houston in New York.
And oh, yeah.
You had a package shipped out, and you opened it up, and momentary disappointment, it wasn't a salami.
No, Katz's has this famous saying from World War II where it was, send a salami to your boy in the army. And I used to hope for those salamis, but in the package you refer to, it was a pair of size 19 shoes, Nike Air Jordans that were going to go to a young Iraqi soldier that we called Bigfoot. The guy was about 7 foot tall and had huge feet, and never in his life had shoes that fit. He couldn't get them in all of Iraq, so I had called home to my girlfriend, who got on the internet and talked to a few of my friends, and finally got one of them to buy a pair of shoes off eBay. And I think, you know, that story shows what it's like to interact with civilians, and it also shows, you know, I think a way we can be effective in winning hearts and minds. We don't talk enough about how we can effectively win hearts and minds, because that's ultimately what we're trying to do in Iraq. And in my experience, you know, a pair of size 19 shoes or a salami from Katz's Deli was infinitely more effective than an M16 or a grenade.
Let's take a caller, Dave from Humboldt. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show with Lieutenant Paul Rykoff.
Hey, Paul and Peter. Paul, you, I was listening one time to Condoleezza speaking over there. She was talking to the troops saying, always remember, they brought this war to us. We did not bring it to them. And the implication she was trying to give them was that Iraq had caused 9/11. I also was wondering if you have come to a conclusion as to why we are over there. And do you share some of our unanswered questions about 9/11 that they used to get us there?
Well, I think the continuing ties to 9/11 that have now been proven to be false by just about everybody with any credibility, you know, they continue to make this rationale, and it's insulting, especially to people like me who are from New York who were at 9/11, and it's really twisted. You know, we shouldn't need to twist the American mind in order to get them to support a cause if it's a good one. But I think they've used that to galvanize public support. They've used it to gain military support, and it insults me when I hear them even utter it, you know, years later after we know it's just proven to be false. So Condoleezza Rice, you know, is not my favorite person. She's not on my Christmas card list. But, you know, the fact that they continue to make this rationale years later just boggles my mind. But, you know, I don't know ultimately why we're there. I think there are a lot of rationales, and I think it's important to people in the administration that we have what we call a lily pad, the ability to project power into a very volatile region in the world. I think that has a lot to do with it. You know, I think oil is definitely a component. You know, maybe there were some people who actually thought there were weapons of mass destruction. I think it's a complicated rationale, and I think only time will tell before we find out what the original and really intention of the president and then that inner circle was.
My personal view is it's the worst of reasons, just the pure greed of those that are profiting the most by being over there.
Yeah, I think that's an important factor that we need to examine, too. I mean, there are 40,000 contractors over there, guys like Halliburton, KBR, Blackwater. They're making a lot of money, and the military-industrial complex has never been more profitable. So I think it's something. It's another area that we could have congressional investigations about that are, you know, more important than Terry Schiavo or steroids in baseball.
Okay, thanks for your call today.
Thank you.
Paul, I want to ask you next, or last here, to describe your reconnection with your girlfriend, who you call Bama. She is a thread throughout the book, clearly.
was very important to you during your deployment. And you describe honestly that it was awkward when you first reconnected with her, that first hug.
Yeah, it was really, really tough. I mean, we call her Bama because she's originally from Birmingham, Alabama. And she's an amazing woman that supported me through this whole thing. But when I came home, you know, I write that she was kind of like a spider monkey. She was all over me, and I had been used to keeping everybody 6 feet away from me for a year. You know, you never let anybody close to you because you're worried they could have a grenade in their hand or stab you or do something else. And you're used to operating as a soldier. And I think it illustrates how difficult that transition is. You know, you're in Baghdad 1 week, and for me, I was in Brooklyn the next. And that transition can make you feel like a giant exposed nerve. It's very difficult to make that quick switch. And I realize now that I'm not alone. For most veterans coming home, it's tough, especially when you look around and see a country that's really living life uninterrupted. It can be a shock to your system, and it's tough for all of us.
Paul, thanks for writing the book, and thanks for the work you do at IAVA. We'll talk about that next time we visit. But I really think there's a lot of powerful information and personal testimony in your book, and I hope people will pick it up and read it. It's called Chasing Ghosts by Paul Rykoff, and it's out in hardcover, and you should find it at your local independent bookstore. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it, Peter.
Coming up next, Robert Scheer from TruthDig.com. He's got a new book out, too. That's next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove has the finest selection of fresh local fruits, veggies, and meats. The Grove Market is also your first stop for delicious artisanal breads and other baked goods, and boasts an outstanding selection of Monterey wines. For competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey, shop at the Grove Market, Monday through Saturday, 8 to 7, 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove. 242 Forest, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The FTC chairwoman called to the Senate hot seat over gasoline prices.
When supply is tight, if you don't raise the price, you just simply run out of gasoline.
Preparing for hurricane season in the Big Easy with a big scrimmage.
This is a test. This is not live, so we are testing right now.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Harley Carnes. FTC Chair Deborah Platt-Majoris told senators today the post-Katrina price of gasoline was supply and demand. Supply was tight, high prices reduced demand. CBS's Bob Fuss.
The FTC Chairman Deborah Platt-Majoris told senators gas price hikes are all due to supply and demand. Mississippi Republican Trent Lott said nonsense.
Some of the things that happened after the hurricane are absolutely outrageous and indefensible.
Maine Republican Olympia Snow made clear the FTC study that Congress ordered just wasn't going to cut it.
This is a very limited version of what constitutes price gouging and therefore does not give a real and true picture.
California Democrat Barbara Boxer angrily called the FTC report a whitewash and told its chair she's on the side of oil companies. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Now this message.
Having a safe place to sleep is a universal need. Having a safe way to sleep should be just as important. When used as directed, Tylenol PM is a safe, non-habit-forming way to relieve pain with sleeplessness. In fact, no other OTC pain reliever is safer than Tylenol. Stop. Think. Tylenol PM. Take only as directed.
It's a never-ending necessity for more and more office space.
For retail leases, they hand you, it's almost a book.
50 pages of legalese.
I am not going to be able to do this.
Calling the realtor should be the first thing you do.
When he got here, I could see he was wearing that realtor pin.
That's the guy to talk to.
Buying or leasing a commercial property? Let someone with expertise and experience be your partner. Ask your agent if they're a realtor, a member of the National Association of Realtors.
Really helped me take my business where I wanted it to go.
A message from your local, state, and national realtor associations.
What happens when the next hurricane comes to the northern Gulf? New Orleans played make-believe today. A monster hurricane named Alicia, bearing down on the Mississippi River Crescent.
New Orleans is definitely in the cone of probability as far as it hitting us.
That's Mayor Ray Nagin, WWL's Dave Cowens in New Orleans.
The city, state, and feds are all testing capabilities as if it were a real storm, down to getting people on buses, taking them to staging areas, and preparing them for an evacuation. City Homeland Security Chief Terry Ebert says this year we have more local soldiers to help.
Our National Guard is at home. It's not in Iraq, so the capabilities have greatly expanded.
The hurricane plan distilled is this: get the heck out of Dodge early. It's a street drug cocktail that's giving heroin a bad name. A mix of heroin, sometimes cocaine, and a powerful painkiller has been laying people low from Chicago to Detroit, 19 Detroit area in the last 5 days. Former Texas Senator Lloyd Benson has died. He ran with Michael Dukakis for the White House.
He was a wonderful guy, a valued friend, and a great running mate.
While they had their heads handed to him in the race, Benson had one of the great comebacks in politics in his vice presidential debate with Dan Quayle.
I have as much experience in the Congress as Jack Kennedy did when he sought the presidency.
I served with Jack Kennedy. I knew Jack Kennedy. Jack Kennedy was a friend of mine. Senator, you're no Jack Kennedy.
The crowd erupted. They had no idea that comeback was carefully crafted, and Benson waited for the opportunity to spring it on Senator Quayle. Lloyd Benson was 85. On those veterans' files, CBS News correspondent Bob Orr has learned the computer disk actually turned up missing 3 weeks ago.
Officials stress there is no evidence so far that any of the stolen data has been used to defraud any veterans.
That could be a good indication if what we've heard is the whole story.
The VA employee says the files are missing, stolen in a burglary. Sources say they may ask the man, a career data analyst, to take a lie detector test.
Questions. Lot of them. For what it's worth, Osama bin Laden purported to be on a website saying what the jury thought. Zacharias Moussaoui was not part of September 11th, just a wannabe. It's pretty clear if you run down the aisle of an airliner shouting you have a bomb, then stop and reach into the backpack strapped to your chest, you just might get shot. Two federal air marshals have been cleared by state's attorneys in Florida in the fatal shooting of a passenger on an airliner at Miami International Airport last December. They say that's the way that one went down. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
In the search for ways to improve health care, we'd like to add another solution. iBeams. That's right, iBeams. A member of the American Institute of Architects can use iBeams to create spaces that enhance healing by easing a patient's mind, sharpening a surgeon's skill, softening a nurse's touch. Not bad for a hunk of iron. Get an AIA architect involved early. You'll feel much better. AIA. Good design makes a difference. Visit AIA.org.
The following is a message from Pfizer.
Dr. Drew Pinsky here on a subject most guys would rather ignore, erectile dysfunction. Believe it or not, nearly half of all guys over 40, and some even younger, have ED. If your sex life leaves something to be desired, even part of the time, do something about it. To learn more about ED and how to treat it, talk to your doctor or visit justasktoday.com. Do it for you and your partner.
President Bush praises Israel's prime minister for planning to redraw.
This just into the Peter B. Collins Show. The Senate Intelligence Committee has voted 12-3, recommending confirmation for General Michael Hayden to be the next head of the CIA. Three Democrats voted against: Russ Feingold of Wisconsin, Ron Wyden of Oregon, and Evan Bayh of Indiana. That's a surprise. Our senior Republican senator from California, Dianne Feinstein, voted yes. Coming up later this hour, our weekly visit with Jason Leopold, the investigative reporter who is working on the Karl Rove story. He also covered the Enron case during the California energy crisis, so we'll get Jason's thoughts on the trial of Ken Lay and his cronies there in Houston. But first, we've got Robert Scheer. He is the founder of TruthDig.com. He is a longtime journalist and a columnist. He used to write for the Los Angeles Times. And the new website TruthDig is where he lives these days. He's also got a new book out called Playing President: My Close Encounters with Nixon, Carter, Bush 1, Reagan, and Clinton, and How They Did Not Prepare Me for George W. Bush. And Bob Scheer checks in from Hawaii today. Hello, Bob.
Hi, how are you?
I feel guilty. Once I saw the area code of where we're calling you today, I said, well, gosh, doesn't he know how to have a vacation?
No, and on the contrary, that's where I wrote Playing President. I wouldn't have a book if not for Maui. And by the way, my column is in the San Francisco Chronicle every Wednesday, so that's close to your marketing area, I know.
Yes, it is, and I read it every week. I wanted to just talk with you about a couple of issues in the news, and let's start off with General Hayden's apparent waltz to confirmation. Just a week ago, Senator Feinstein was telling us that his nomination presented a potential constitutional crisis. And today she announced that she's voting for him with some reservations, but still she's voting for him.
Well, those reservations represent the main threat right now to American democracy. And I don't mean just that Senator Feinstein, but I just think the whole failure of the Democratic Party to act in a responsible, critical fashion around the war, around civil liberties, around torture, is what has allowed this administration to be so arrogant, so out of control. And, you know, after all, we do have a constitution, we do have a system of checks and balances. Now, the Democrats are always whining that they don't control a House of Congress and therefore cannot provide this function, but it's nonsense. Here you have, you know, Democratic senators, as they did with the war, many of them, going along with policies that they know are wrong. I mean, let's just take this nomination. This man should not have been nominated simply on the basis of his own resume.
Yeah.
Right? It was on his watch that 9/11 happened. He was the head of the main intelligence agency before 9/11, and not 1 week before, right? For 2 years before. And if the system was blinking red when George Bush was ignoring it, when he was down there in Texas on his extended vacation in August of 2001, did Hayden warn him urgently enough? And if he did and the president ignored it, why didn't Hayden ever go public with that? Why didn't he ever say anything about it with all the concern we have? How did this thing happen? Here is the guy who knows more than anyone about the information available to President Bush on 9/11 and before 9/11. He knows it.
Yep.
Now, either he failed to gather that information correctly, he failed to cull it correctly, or he failed to alert the president, or the president didn't care and the people around him, and then he failed to tell the public that the president had failed in his obligation. After 9/11, he continued in that position. And he, as well as anyone in the society, knows how the data on al-Qaeda, the connection, the false connection between al-Qaeda and Saddam Hussein, was an invention of this administration. He knows the intelligence data was ignored. It wasn't a question of bad intelligence data. It was cherry-picked to come to the conclusion that the political honchos in the administration wanted to have, which is to go attack Iraq. And he knows that the overwhelming evidence was that there were not weapons of mass destruction and so forth. He knows all this.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, again, absolute cheerleading, not just silence, cheerleading for this administration.
Well,
then
and,
we come to the question of...
Just one sec, Bob. Yeah. I can still hear your voice from the auditorium at UC Berkeley in March of 2004. There was a conference on the media and the war. And you stood up after a bunch of people basically apologized for the government and then apologized for the media, and you said 10 million people around the world got it right.
Well, the topic of that conference, the journalist conference, the topic was where did we go wrong or something of that sort, you
right.
know, with the we.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, what do you mean? What do you mean we? There were people in the media, I believe you were one of them, who were raising very serious questions about the intelligence. But as I pointed out, and I believe it was more like 15 million people around the world registered and mostly living in strong democracies, you know, in Europe, registered very strong protests and denied the need for the urgent invasion of Iraq, you know,
mm-hmm.
and denied the pressing danger. But getting back to Hayden, here is a guy who, you know, we are supposed to believe that, you know, we ask people around the world to object to power when power is wrong, right? Even in totalitarian societies, we say, we want people to speak up. You know, the Sakharovs who spoke up against the Soviet leaders, you know, we respect those people. We urge them on. And they face torture. They face, you know, a horrible consequence for their family. And yet, you know, we ask that they act like free people. Here in our own society, we have the Colin Powells, the General Haydens, and others who later will tell us they knew better, but in real time, they never do, and they failed the American public. And getting back to your California's senior senator, I think she's failed the republic. She's failed not only her party, but she's failed what the Constitution is all about. And the idea that you give a blank check to someone to take over the CIA, who has failed so miserably, both in the collection of intelligence data and being honest about how that data was used, yep, is shocking. But then to get to the more pressing point, that this is the guy who authored the spying program, authored extending this incredible technology of the NSA into the domestic lives of Americans, and being able to obtain the records of their phone calls and monitor through that their movements, their associations. I mean, what is more intimate these days than your phone records in terms of knowing where you've been, who you talk to, what kind of life you lead, and to take that information from supposedly private companies. And to do this, whatever else they say at the end of the day, they did not inform. If that information was needed, why wouldn't they inform the public?
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't they tell us?
The other thing is, to me, the most astounding part of the public testimony of General Haydon last week was his claim that 9/11 might have been prevented if the spying programs that he's responsible for but dodged questions about, you know, he really failed to provide any information in public about the eavesdropping program on emails and phone calls to Al-Qaeda, as the president has described them, and on the data mining of our phone records. But he still maintained and was largely unchallenged by the senators, yeah, we could have stopped 9/11 if we just had these programs in place before.
You know, I've said this before on your show, but it bears repetition. If one picks up the 9/11 Commission report, there is almost a full-page boxed-in disclaimer. I forget what page it's on. One of your listeners probably knows, 176 or something. But being in Hawaii, I don't happen to have it with me.
All right.
In that disclaimer, they say the basic narrative of Al-Qaeda, how this thing got going, who they were, was it just a bankrolling operation, or was there really sort of a mafia-like organization with tentacles, which I don't think existed. But who is bin Laden? How did this thing get going? How were these people organized? What do they represent? What continuing threat do they represent? They say their narrative was drawn largely from the report of key witnesses who aren't being held, and that the 9/11 Commission was not only not able to interrogate the key witnesses, they were not able to talk to, let alone take under oath or anything, testimony, but talk to the people who did the interrogation. So here you have a basic narrative about terrorism in this world that was developed by the very same people who lied to us about WMDs and Saddam Hussein's connection with Al-Qaeda and everything, people who have absolutely no regard for the truth. They provide a narrative, and the only independent commission that we've had look at this thing was denied the raw data, denied the information, okay?
And Bob, a new Zogby poll released this week shows that 45% of Americans surveyed don't believe we've been told the truth about 9/11.
Well, it should be 99.9%, you know, because the fact of the matter is that even if you take this, the report that is supposed to be the gold standard, they say they were denied the basic information, okay, about what is this Al-Qaeda thing? Who is bin Laden? What does it represent? Now, we know we went through many, many years of scaremongering about the mafia, and the mafia is everywhere, and where is the mafia? And then when it wasn't the mafia, it was international communism everywhere and under every bed and so forth. We always have these boogeyman scenarios. Now, terrorism has always been with us in the world. No question 9/11 represented a high point in terrorist attack on the U.S., the high point. But there's been vicious terrorist attacks before Al-Qaeda from non-Muslim sources. Terrorism is unfortunately a condition of life, and it can be heightened in situations where we live in big cities and we're more vulnerable, obviously. Okay? But in terms of this fear-mongering, if you don't have a narrative of how does this happen, who are these people, how do they work, okay, then you're really in trouble, and you can claim everything. You can scare people indefinitely. And if you have something called a war on terror, where you can scare us forever, because there will always be terror, so we'll always be at war, therefore we cannot be a free society. That's the real danger here, and that's what this NSA thing raises. Until, so when you say, okay, what is this Al-Qaeda? How could 9/11 possibly been prevented by knowing the cell phone calls of someone in the mall there in Monterey or someplace, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And there is absolutely not a bit of evidence to support that, not a bit of evidence. We know there were many things that could have been done. Many things that could have been done that do not involve violating our civil liberties.
Right. We got to take a break. Bob will return in just a moment. Robert Scheer, my guest. Visit truthdig.com and pick up his new book, Playing President, with a lengthy subtitle. If you'd like to talk with him, he's on the line for the next 15 minutes. Call us at 831-899-5792 or toll free 888-579-2540 here at the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, I'm Dan Brown, president of At Your Service Premier Event Planning and Transportation. We specialize in events ranging from a two-person anniversary or 200 guests attending the great AT&T or the concourse. We have a fleet of sedans, limousines, vans, mini coaches, as well as vintage cars that make any event special. Weddings, wine tours, or corporate events, give us a call, 625-5363, or check us out on the web, MontereyLimos.com.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540. If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
KRXA 540 checks your traffic on the ride home, and here's Metro Diane.
All right, Peter, do you have your animal sounds ready?
What do I need?
You need goat sounds.
Oh, goats. That'll take me a minute.
Okay. Prunedale, I'll say it. Prunedale, Mar Court at Mar Road. Reports of several goats walking around in the lanes there. That's actually all we have to tell you about. Some road work going on in King City, Highway 198 west of Pine Valley Road.
All I got is some lousy pigs here.
Oh.
Sorry about that.
Well, the goats, they pushed the pigs out of the way and then ran into the lanes there. So, King City 198 west of Pine Valley Road, Caltrans doing some paving work in both directions there till late this evening. So be aware if you have to go through there, one-way traffic control is in effect, about a 15-minute delay. This report is brought to you by Refer Yourself Real Estate Rebates. Looking to buy or sell a home, get up to 1% of the sale price back at closing. Go to buysellcashback.com to find out more. I'm Zion in traffic on KRXA 540.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
We got a president, so jobs we ever had. Got the job 'cause of his dad. Now we're all in danger. He come around up to no good. Broke the old treaties 'cause he could. Struts all around like a hood. Got us in a world of trouble. Put him in a straitjacket, there's no doubt. Let the psychiatrist figure him out. Listen while the demonstrators cheer and shout. We'll all feel better in the morning.
Robert Scheer's new book is called Playing President, My Close Encounters with Nixon, Carter, Bush 1, Reagan, and Clinton, and How They Did Not Prepare Me for George W. Bush. Bob Scheer, one more thing about the Hayden nomination before we move on to another topic. That is, I'm concerned that the Republicans will play this as vindication of the entire NSA program. Here we put the guy who admits to being the architect of the telephone and email eavesdropping and doesn't admit to being, but we can lay at his feet, the data mining of the phone records. And if he waltzes through this confirmation, won't that be case closed on the NSA?
Well, it won't be case closed because there are going to be lawsuits and there will be leaks and there will be investigations. But let me just wrap up that one point. I'm offended that my senator, somebody I voted for, doesn't care that, for all we know about 9/11, we know that having our individual phone records and who we called and having that ability, A, was not needed, and B, if it was needed, they should have told us. Okay? Mm-hmm. They should have told us and asked for permission and gone through the legal channels and should inform us as to how we live and so forth. That would not tip off any terrorist to anything. Okay. But, you know, the answer to the question, yes, he's not going into retirement. He's going to be head of the CIA. He's reporting to a guy named Negroponte, whom he was his deputy. And Negroponte is famous for Iran-Contra and for violating the laws and not caring about the rights of American citizens. Yes. So, yes, we're in trouble because the main spy agency is in the hands of a guy who, at the very least, just wanted to cover for the president and didn't care about what the information really showed.
Yeah. I want to turn to another topic.
Can I just
topic?
Make a point about Democrats? I'm sorry, but I do
yeah,
want to
go
make
ahead,
a point while I'm on a roll here. This book,
uh-huh.
Playing President of Mine,
yeah.
You know, I try to be fair about it, and the fact of the matter is Democrats don't come away so well in this book, you know. And I would just take one, Jimmy Carter, who we all love as an ex-president. But the fact is it was on Jimmy Carter's watch that we started this whole mess with the Muslim fundamentalists by claiming that in Afghanistan, the Soviets going after Afghanistan was the greatest, worst thing that ever happened, right?
Mm-hmm.
The greatest assault on freedom.
Right.
And we supported these Muslim fanatics going to Afghanistan. That's how bin Laden came to be there. That's how Al-Qaeda came to be nourished there. And so there's these unintended consequences. And you know, we had the Vietnam War as another, you know, obvious debacle of Democrats. So I am very concerned at this point that people not say, oh, well, the lesser evil, I'll support Democrats even if they don't object to the war, even if they don't object to these attacks on our civil liberties. This is a time for people to show their principles. And I'm, you know, you mentioned Russ Feingold voted against him. Russ Feingold right now seems to me, along with Al Gore, they represent two very good choices for the Democrats. At this time.
I agree, especially on Feingold. I think that he's, in most respects, a fresh face with very strong positions, and I would look forward to supporting
integrity. Integrity, man. That's, I don't understand. You know, the Republicans, the right wing, demanded from the Republican Party that it show some integrity on the issues they cared about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's how they got Ronald Reagan after Barry Goldwater and so forth. You know, and I just everyone's now falling all over themselves, saying, you know, oh, let's go with Hillary, even though she still supports the war, or let's, you know, Dianne Feinstein's better than what could come. Nonsense.
Yeah.
You know, if you can't speak out now clearly on. In response to this assault on our civil liberties, clearly on getting out of Iraq, you know, well, then who needs you?
Robert Scheer with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. About 2 minutes remaining, Bob, and I wanted to ask you about a story that we have reported on our program, but the mainstream media hasn't caught up with us. Jason Leopold is an investigative reporter who's coming on next. He writes for truthout.org. And on May 17th, he published a story that Karl Rove has been indicted. The Fitzgerald team has not denied this, but they also have not confirmed it, and they've got Jason sweating bullets right now. As a journalism professor, what's your take on the story and the way the corporate media is afraid of Rove and appears to be intimidated to really dig in?
Well, you know, on Truth Dig.com, as opposed to Truth Out, com, which I respect enormously. We have covered that story. I mean, we've reprinted what he has said and what they have said.
Right.
So we're trying to do our best. I really can't answer this question in any serious way. I haven't explored it, but I think it's something worth exploring, and I will look into it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I've asked to get a copy of your book, and when I get it, I'll read it, and then I'd like to invite you back on the show, and we can go at it and talk about it.
But in the short run, just pop down any bookstore, and I'll pay for it.
All right, what's the weather report from Maui today, Bob?
It looks great, but everybody knocks Maui. You're in Maui. Don't forget, Maui in the primary voted for Dennis Kucinich over those other Democrats, so I'm very proud to be in Maui.
Okay. Thanks for joining us today.
Bye-bye.
That's Robert Scheer. Truthdig.com is where you can see his latest work, including the book, Playing President, My Close Encounters with Nixon, Carter, Bush 1, Reagan, and Clinton. He's the one who got Jimmy Carter to give him the quote about lust in his heart. Yeah, that's one of Robert Scheer's claims to fame. Coming up next, Jason Leopold checks in. We'll talk about the progress on the Rove case, and we'll also talk about that case in Houston, the Enron case with Kenny Boy Lay on trial. Your calls and comments are welcome. You can join us toll-free at 888-579-2540 or the local line on the Central Coast at 831-899-5792. And visit my website, peterbcollins.com. That's where you can catch the live stream and archive programs, too.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
I'm Chuck Mackley, owner of Executive Financial Services. I can get you up to 12% interest on your investment on first and second trust deeds secured by real property. Don't settle for 3 to 5% on your money. Call me today at 443-7277. Your investment will be protected by the equity in the property and title insurance. Put your hard-earned money to work. Call Executive Financial Services at 443-7277 and ask for Chuck Mackley.
Join R.J. Moyer for his new weekend show about college funding this Saturday at 10 a.m. on KRXA 540. R.J. Moyer brings to the microphone a unique perspective on the benefits of a college education, and he shares with you his knowledge on how to substantially reduce your out-of-pocket college expenses.
This is R.J. Moyer. Join me for About College Funding Saturday morning at 10 on KRXA 540, sponsored in part by The Potting Shed in Aptos.
Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is hands down the finest Volvo maintenance and repair shop in Monterey County. Owners Mike Brooks and Tracy Palacco are both factory trained in Volvo service and repair. They provide outstanding quality and great service at reasonable prices. They only work on Volvos, so you know that your Volvo will be in caring and skilled hands. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside, or you can call Mike and Tracy at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
Tom Hartman.
When Thomas Jefferson wrote Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Happiness into the Declaration of Independence in 1776, it was the first time in the history of the world that the word happiness had been used in the founding document of any so-called civilized nation.
It's the Tom Hartman Program.
And Ronald Reagan was the guy who began to take it apart. He was the perfect front man for really what was fundamentally a vicious idea.
Tom Hartman on KRXA 540.
Every business has a black and white copier.
Yet color packs more punch, demands more attention, and projects a more powerful image.
The Sharp MX Series Multifunctional Products.
Advanced color document systems that not only copy, print, scan, and fax, but also feature high-quality printing in both color and black and white from the same MFP.
All for a surprisingly low total cost of ownership. And with Sharp's advanced image stabilization and microfine toner technology.
The MX series produces ultra-vivid documents and extraordinary color image quality, page after page.
Sharp's MX series.
Workgroup document systems designed to provide exceptional performance and productivity day after day, in-house for less money.
Tri-County Business Systems, solutions that connect with you since 1981. Located in Salinas at South Main and Acacia Streets. Call 1-800-339-6216. That's 1-800-339-6216.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquor's knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquor specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
From the left coast, you've got the Peter B. Collins Show. And that makes me your humble host, Peter B. Coming up next hour, we're 80% sure we'll have a brief update from Melanie Sloan, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. And in particular, we'll talk about the Democratic congressman accused of corruption. And the evidence is really pretty powerful against this guy, William Jefferson. Marked bills that the FBI handed off to him were found in his freezer. I like cold cash, too. And we got the Free Speech Zone for you next hour. You can call and talk about anything that's on your mind here on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's time for our weekly update from Jason Leopold at truthout.org. And he is also the author of a memoir book called News Junkie. Hello, Jason.
Hey, Peter. How you doing?
I'm doing fine today. It's good to talk to you again.
Yeah. What's been going on in the world this past week? I've been, you know...
Did you take Larissa's advice and get sedated?
You know, I did for a couple hours.
Yeah.
and then I had some really bad flashbacks to 1996. So
I see. Well, it's very interesting because let me just offer you my sense of where things are, and then
sure.
you can straighten me out.
Absolutely.
As Mark Ash, your editor at truthout.org, posted on Sunday, the developments have been in favor of Jason Leopold and his reporting.
Yes.
And that is that more individuals have come forward to corroborate key facts that you published in two pieces a week and a half ago regarding the indictment of Karl Rove. And most significantly, the Office of Patrick Fitzgerald, the special prosecutor, the counsel here, has not refuted or denied the reporting that you've done.
That's absolutely correct. And, you know, and I have to, if you'll allow me just the, you know, little opportunity just to get on a little soapbox here, but to just say that, you know, Mark Ash is an incredible editor. Because what he did, putting his neck out on the line, after obviously he did that only because he spoke to all of the sources, and people have come forward to him. He's done his due diligence in checking these people out to make sure they are who they say they are, some of whom also are from, you know, major network news operations. So, you know, I just want to take this opportunity to, you know, tell people who are out there, A, bashing me, which is to be expected. But let me just say that I'm not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to continue reporting whether anyone likes it or not. And that's what I do. I, you know, we went out there and we took a huge risk by putting this story out. And we're now standing behind it. And until the time comes where Patrick Fitzgerald, you know, says Jason Leopold was wrong,
Karl Rove is a free bird.
Right. Well, then, you know, we'll deal with that when the time comes. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm sure you're aware there's there's a lot of stuff out there. And, you know, I also just want to say that anything that anyone is saying about me out there, it pales in comparison to what I have written about myself in my own book and, you know, how much I've beaten myself up in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's sort of a waste of energy, you know, people. You know, we absolutely stand by the story.
Mm-hmm.
We are continuing to, you know, dig for documentary proof. I mean, our goal here is to provide readers with as much information as possible.
Mm-hmm.
you know, we handled this. Let me just say this: we handled this story professionally. In terms of what we were unprepared for, we were unprepared for the backlash, and we were unprepared for dealing with, you know, Karl Rove's camp. Now that's a lesson to be learned for, you know, for dealing with situations like this in the future. But you know, Mark Ash is incredible, and I think that, you know, had Dan Rather or other folks had, you know, a guy like Mark Ash behind him, you know, who knows what would be you know, the news business would look like. But
And Jason, you know, do you feel that writing News Junkie, the book that describes some of the dark chapters of your past and some drug problems and some difficulties with your previous employers, did it essentially inoculate you from the kind of attacks that you're being subject to right now?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact,
I mean, at least you don't have any secrets that somebody could use against you.
And it's funny because, you know, what it's really interesting. I was just reading the description of my book. I'm doing this, you know, discussion and signing tomorrow, and I was just reading the description of my book. And if you were to read it, actually, it seems as if it's, you know, I'm talking about Karl Rove when, you know, it says that, you know, I was pillared by angry colleagues when I, you know, took a Bush administration official to task. Of course, that actually, you know, is in reference to Thomas White,
right,
but who used to work at Enron. But
yes, he did.
You know, the book definitely, you know, for me, what I feel is when I see these things, when I see, you know, people sort of bringing that up, and it's, again, as I say, it's to be expected because that's sort of, you know, what the times that we're in. You know, you challenge somebody's credibility and you dig up dirt on them.
Well, and Jason, let's be fair. You're a journalist with an independent organization.
Right.
You don't have the clout of, and you also don't have the baggage of, say, the New York Times or ABC News or even
right.
Fox. And you are tilting against, you are challenging, you are calling out one of the most powerful men in the Western world who has many levers at his disposal.
Right.
And you know he's pulling every one of them that he can.
Oh, absolutely. And that's why when I see these things, and I'll be totally honest here, when I see, you know, when I see a lot of the personal attacks, I feel, you know what, I actually feel good because I broke my own story. I actually, you know, if anything, I think I should be given a little bit of, you know, given some credibility for the fact that, you know, I already revealed all of this. This isn't a secret. I have a book out there that, you know, I exposed myself. I really, again, you know, what's striking to me, Peter, is the fact that, you know, I think that everyone deserves a second chance. I really have always believed that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some people may argue that I've been given, you know, 30 chances, and that is true in some cases. But, you know, I did not make up this story.
Mm-hmm.
I did not, you know, it would make no sense. My editor is fully aware of who my sources are. And, you know, I think that this sort of demonstrates that there's incredible amount of interest, excitement, and curiosity as to what is going on with this story. And, you know, I think everyone has the absolute right to ask really tough questions and ask me tough questions, and I welcome that. But I really can't entertain, you know, anyone when they, you know, when they say things like, you know, that I pushed the liberal, you know, movement back a few years, which is, you know, what a couple of people have told me by this story.
I think that's pretty off base. I have not read that myself, but, you know, as I hear it, it's just kind of silly.
Yeah, there's some, it is. There's some wacky things. But, you know, again, Patrick Fitzgerald, you know, has not come out with, you know, a public announcement. And, you know, we're confident that it will happen. And we've actually, you know, Mark and I have been working really closely. Mark Ash and I have working closely together on obtaining, you know, additional information, and we have. And that's the incredible thing is that, you know, in hindsight, what would we have done differently? I could tell you that I wouldn't have put in my story that an announcement was expected last week. I would have just left that out and left out the, you know, the 24 hours element, because what that did what I learned from that is that that actually sort of confused people. That even though I, you know, said an announcement is expected, well, you know, they, of course, you read that and you think announcement's going to come out last week. Right. And the 24 hours element.
And just explain that for people who haven't read your piece. You said
that
Fitzgerald gave the word to Rove and Luskin, his lawyer, that Rove had 24 hours or, you know, essentially
to get his affairs in order,
a business day to clean out his desk and get ready.
Right. And people interpreted that, and I understand it, interpreted it as there would be, you know, something would happen publicly in 24 hours. So there really was no need for that detail because clearly when you put a time stamp on something like that, you know, you've got to, even though it's, you know, I could sit here and say, well, that's not what I said, I'm going to take responsibility for the fact that I put that in there. Mm-hmm. And that's not going to happen in future stories. But in, you know, this story, again, it's, you know, it's, we reported what our sources told us. We, you know, confronted our sources. We spoke to additional sources, and we firmly stand behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And
have you gotten support or corroboration from any unusual quarters? You might not be able to define who or where, but any support from surprising zones?
You know, the only surprising zone, without unfortunately being able to identify it, is major network news operations who were there. That's the surprising thing. And, you know, the reasons that, you know, the story was that they did not run the story, I don't have really an explanation other than I think that, you know, the way it was explained to me is that they just wanted to wait for a public announcement. But that's the only area where, you know, we have received, surprising information in terms of, you know, these individuals actually coming forward to offer just moral support, mm-hmm. and saying, hey, by the way, you know, your story is right.
Yeah.
But I have to say also, Peter, that it is really, really curious as to why, you know, Robert Luskin, Karl Rove's attorney, and his spokesman, you know, vehemently deny this, because their denials, I have to say, are totally believable. But then at the same time, you know, speaking to all these various sources, you know, people who are, you know, involved in this, they're believable. And it clearly, you know, demonstrates that something is going on. Something went on, and the fact that, you know, this has been suppressed and that, you know, Karl Rove's camp is now phoning specific journalists to, give them this, you know, to turn their attention away from Karl Rove and turn it onto, you know, Truth Out and me, really speaks volumes to the fact that there's something going on.
Yeah, and I keep, Matt, my producer, and I keep running this through our minds and trying to come up with a reason or some presumed benefit that would accrue to Rove or Bush or anybody from delaying what appears to be the inevitable.
And right. I can't
put my finger on what the benefit would be.
I know. I have to say that I spoke to a couple of federal prosecutors who have experience in this area. And, you know, I asked them, I'm like, why would he lie? Why would, you know, Karl Rove's attorney lie if, in fact, that's what he's doing? Mm-hmm. They said that, well, first of all, saying no comment, they know that that would turn this into a story. People would run with it. And they wouldn't be able to even say, give any explanation, because then he wouldn't be protecting his client's confidentiality. He's his attorney. It's a very, very interesting twist in this story. And
Jason, we got to take a break.
Sure.
We'll return and wrap up on this, and then I want to get your thoughts on the Enron trial, Skilling and Lay, waiting for a verdict in Houston. We'll continue in just a moment with investigative reporter Jason Leopold, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet Radio Show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and fun. I interview authors, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make the Monterey Bay Area such a delicious slice of our tasty planet. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Sponsored in part by Kitchen Studio.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
We're going.
Tom Hartman.
And over the last 3 days, the new conservative talking points that have been going out are blame it on Bill Clinton.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
The high gas prices, we got to shift the blame to the Democrats, say it's all because he didn't let them drill in Anwar. The real reason is because for almost 20 years now, the Republicans have prevented them from raising CAFE standards, the corporate average fuel efficiency standards. Average fuel efficiency of a car right now is back where it was in the 70s.
Tom Hartman, weekday mornings 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
KRXA 540, ready for a traffic update. We're standing by to connect with Metro Diane, and she's here and ready to roll. Go ahead, Diane.
This time around, we have figs in the roadway. It's in Hollister, Fairview Road at Fallon Road. Still have the goats, still have the goats walking around in Prunedale, Marcourt at Mar Road. And also an accident to tell you about. Two vehicles involved in this one. It's in Salinas, Davis Road at Hitchcock Road. Both vehicles have been moved over to the right-hand shoulder.
And, Diane, I have whales if you ever need them.
Wow, I don't know if that'll come up. But I might like to hear that one day. This report is brought to you by Orkin Pest Control. Did you know that ants talk by smell? The Orkin man knows. He's trained to sniff out bugs and remove them. Remember, if it bugs you, bug the Orkin man at 1-800-ORKIN-MAN. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
Head them up, move them out. Thanks, Diane. It's the Peter B. Collins Show as we continue with Jason Leopold from TruthOut.org.
As I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I take a look at my life and realize there's nothing left. Cause I've been blasting and laughing so long that even my mama thinks that my mind is gone. But I ain't never crossed a man that didn't deserve it. Me be treated like a punk, you know that's unheard of. You better watch how you're talking and where you're walking, or you and your homies might be lying to talk. I really hate the trip, but I gotta low. As they go, I see myself in the pistol smoke. Fool, I'm the kind of G that little homies wanna be like. On my knees in the night, saying prayers in the street light.
Ah, a little inspiration from Coolio, and some of it does kind of relate to what's going on inside the Beltway, kind of a gangster's paradise these days.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was just thinking it. Gave me a very clear visual, those lyrics.
Paula's on the line from Eureka. Hello, Paula. Join us.
Hi, Peter B. Hi, Jason Leopold.
Hi there.
I'm so glad you came on today, and I just wanted to call and tell Peter B. I'm so glad, you know, you're having your weekly visit with us. And, you know, I know it was a huge gamble that you took with that story, but those of us who have had the chance to listen to you and, you know, we're kind of familiar with your style. We're just so hoping that it happens. And
right.
Because if it doesn't quite happen in the timeline that you had outlined, it still doesn't mean that if it does happen, you're not going to be, you know, just everyone will be, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, Paul, you know, Jason's story was specific that he couldn't speculate about a timeline.
And you know, I'm just thrilled to hear you today, and I'm just, you know, I'm hoping, you know, we're all just hoping for this indictment so much, so.
Well, thank you,
you're not
and,
right.
You know, and thanks for, you know, the kind words. I think that, you know, that I think, you know, she really said it best and demonstrated what the angst is like out there in the, you know, and the people that are following the story, is that it's really, really a huge issue. It's a huge story. And, you know, I need to also demonstrate that, or at least, you know, let people know that the sources that I'm speaking to, I don't know, you know, people sort of like get this impression that, you know, all my sources have come to me to give me this story and no other journalist has it. I don't know what other journalists have. I know that other journalists have this story, but their news networks decided not to run with it for whatever their reasons are. And you know, Peter, that this has happened. This often happens.
Well, Jason, come on. Get your priorities straight.
Yeah.
There's a new development in the Natalie Holloway case.
Right.
You expect Karl Rove's predicament to take precedent?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, we can hope.
Yeah.
And that's what I do. It's sort of a, it's funny. It's like each time, you know, when I have to say that this is, when I put this story out, you know, I've said this, that I thought the New York Times, I thought this was a competitive story.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'll be honest with you, my feeling when I was putting this story together was that, you know, I should have thought a little bit more about what, you know, what the response would be. I actually,
but you,
you
didn't.
Know,
you never expected that your story would essentially be the only one out there for 10 days.
I did not expect that. And that, I have to say, is like, that's what I mean by, like, you know, each time you think will be different. Because for me, this is very familiar in that, you know, this happened 3.5 years ago with the Thomas White issue, which, mm-hmm. by the way, you know, I'd like to let everyone know that they actually read the Jeff Skilling indictment. They would see that my story is actually true. That, mm-hmm. that indictment actually has elements of my story that I wrote about Thomas White in it. But, you know, what I have done differently now, and I describe this in my book because I describe some of the issues that, you know, some of my mistakes with regard to that Thomas White story. What I did differently this time around is that my editor was in every step of the way, that this was not a, you know, a rush to just get the story out so I could, you know, get that sort of adrenaline rush and feel high, like I, you know, like I talk about. This was done very carefully, and we had, you know, many sources, and we had the information. We went out there, and for me, you know, I actually feel really good, you know, personally, that, you know, I did everything right in terms of keeping everyone updated, you know, having them speak to my sources, having them know who my sources are in terms of the organization. And that's why we, you know, we're trying to stand, you know, tall.
Yeah.
Until, you know, the time comes where we actually get a document where I could say, hey, Peter, guess what I got in my hands? Here's an indictment. Or, you know, where we, you know, we hear that public announcement.
And we'll be looking carefully for the date on that indictment, because that could
be the
major source of indication. Jason, just about 2.5 minutes remaining. I wanted to get your take on the unusual tactics used by Ken Lay and Jeffrey Skilling's defense teams in this trial in Houston. They essentially say that they were oblivious, that everything was fine, and there, you know, there was nothing wrong at Enron, and it was really just brought down by bad reporting from the Wall Street Journal,
which is really funny, because you know, that I was actually really, when I saw the witness list, you know, one of the witnesses on that list was a reporter at the Wall Street Journal I used to work with, and, you know, I have to say that they took a huge gamble. And Ken Lay's combative attitude on the stand, I think, is going to really hurt him. You know, he's on trial right now in a separate trial for bank fraud. You know, he said yesterday, I believe it was, that, you know, he didn't even know that he was breaking the law on that trial. And, you know, the jury is, you know, I'm sure has seen so much, you know, in terms of, you know, white-collar crime involving, you know, major corporations. I don't think it's going to bode well for Ken Lay or Jeff Skilling.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that Jeff Skilling is going to get the is going to be worse off because he was deeply, you know, he was very involved in all aspects of that company's business, including the financial elements.
And the offshore accounts.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, and the witnesses, you know, gave, you know, testimony that really, you know, showed how hands-on Ken Lay and Jeff Skilling were. And when they play those tapes, when they play those analyst phone calls, you know, for the jury, you know, what you walk away with is these guys knew exactly what they were talking about. And in hindsight, what it looks like is not only did they know what they were talking about, they knew how to, you know, scam Wall Street. So, but the, you know, Ken Lay, I have to say, out of you know, if it were between Ken Lay and Jeff Skilling, Ken Lay, I think he's going to be found guilty on some of those charges. And I don't think that his, you know, combative stance did him, you know, served him very well.
Yeah. Well, and as a victimized shareholder of Enron, I have to say that I knew the company was going down by September
right.
of that year. And if Ken Lay didn't know it, he was in some special state of denial.
Yeah. Hey, look, you know, this company still owes California billions of dollars. I mean, this state is still trying to collect from that energy crisis.
Right. Jason, thanks for joining us today, and we'll talk soon whenever
Peter,
news breaks.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, Jason Leopold, truthout.org, and the book News Junkie. Pick it up and read it. Coming up next, Melanie Sloan with an update on corruption in Washington, and then the Free Speech Zone with your phone calls, 888-579-2540.
I am Attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Chris Mavridis. When this guy talks, the world listens. They still don't know for sure if this audio tape is in fact Osama bin Laden. If it is, the message here is pretty interesting. Listen carefully. You heard right. The voice on the tape mentioned Zacharias Moussaoui.
On a website often used by Al-Qaeda, Osama bin Laden posted a tape, his third this year, but this time specifically addressing the issue of Islamic militants currently in U.S. detention. He said Zacharias Moussaoui, the only person convicted in the U.S. for the September 11th attacks, had no connection whatsoever with the Al-Qaeda operation. Adding, I'm certain of what I say because I was responsible for entrusting the 19 brothers with the...
CBS's Laura Logan. Moussaoui told anyone who'd listen that he was, in fact, Al-Qaeda, but it was the feds who linked him to the attacks, calling him the 20th hijacker. Moussaoui's now serving his life sentence. Oh, how painful is this? Filling up that tank sure does cost a lot. Some folks have cried foul, so the Federal Trade Commission looked into it and found absolutely no evidence, they say, of price gouging. On Capitol Hill, the FTC's director delivered her report and got an earful from senators like California's Barbara Boxer claiming the commission is in bed with big oil.
Maybe we need to investigate the FTC.
I'm sorry you're displeased with the FTC, but I've never wanted to make this personal, but if you have any doubt whatsoever about my caring and my empathy and my background of working class for the people of America, then I would like to suggest that you spend some time with me, because nobody who works with me doubts that for one second.
If you own a house and aren't lucky enough to pay cash, you likely have a mortgage from Fannie Mae. A lot of Americans do. Now the company's in trouble. An investigation has found some of its executives allegedly pocketed cash meant for low and mid-income mortgage programs.
This is a massive case of corporate accounting fraud. Fannie Mae finances about one in every five residential mortgages in this country. They are the largest investor in mortgages in the U.S.
CBS's Anthony Mason says this will cost the company big time.
Fannie Mae is paying for this in a lot of ways. Most notably, they have to pay a $400 million fine to the government. It's possible that some of the executives will have to give back these bonuses that they received. It's also possible that some of them could face criminal charges. There is an investigation underway.
One step closer to being the CIA's top dog, Michael Hayden has won the Senate Intelligence Committee's stamp of approval. The endorsement's good news for the Air Force General, who still needs a full Senate before moving into the corner office in Langley. On Wall Street, the Dow lost nearly 27 points and NASDAQ fell 14. This is CBS News.
Hey, Memorial Day weekend signals the start of summer. So for all your indoor and outdoor projects, head on over to the Ace Hardware Memorial Weekend Sale. Get a stainless steel gas grill for only $3.99, or relax in some cedar Adirondack chairs for just $29.99. The Memorial Weekend Sale at your local Ace Hardware starts Friday. Don't miss it. Ace, the helpful place. Quantities limited. Available at participating stores.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware folks.
Yeah, my wife's pregnant, so since she's driving more carefully now, maybe we could get a discount on our rate, huh?
That's a real question that was put to the licensed insurance experts at Progressive Direct. When you call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE, we'll answer your questions and help you find the policy that best fits you. So whether your question's unique or typical.
Yeah, I just turned 25. Will that lower my rate?
In fact, it will. Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Progressive Direct Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Available in most states and situations.
These days, just about everybody's looking to save on the price of gas. Along the Oregon-California border, one motorist has found some success.
Joe Pachota says he doesn't mind the monthly haul one bit.
It's a beautiful drive from Siskiyou County to Ashland, and I save 15, 20 bucks.
That's because
here in California, the gas is always 40 to 50 cents higher than Oregon.
He fills his car and five 11-gallon gas cans before heading home and says his cost-saving idea is catching on.
I have a bunch of neighbors that are starting to do it now, too.
Doug Carter for CBS News, Portland, Oregon.
Drive-through means what it sounds like, except at the McDonald's in Covington, Georgia. A 46-year-old man's accused of running five people down in the restaurant parking lot about 30 miles south of Atlanta. Three of the victims were little kids. The motorist's mom says he's been struggling with mental illness for a while. A witness says he was smiling the entire time. Chris Mavridis, CBS News.
Having a safe place to sleep is a universal need. Having a safe way to sleep should be just as important. When used as directed, Tylenol PM is a safe, non-habit-forming way to relieve pain with sleeplessness. In fact, no other OTC pain reliever is safer than Tylenol. Stop. Think. Tylenol PM. Take only as directed.
It's a never-ending necessity for more and more office space.
For retail leases they hand you, it's almost a book.
50 pages of legalese.
I am not going to be able to do this.
Calling the realtor should be the first thing you do.
When he got here, I could see he was wearing that realtor pin.
That's the guy to talk to.
Buying or leasing a commercial property? Let someone with expertise and experience be your partner. Ask your agent if they're a realtor, a member of the National Association of Realtors.
Really helped me take my business where I wanted it to go.
A message from your local, state, and national realtor associations.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, where we wrap progressive views in electric guitar rock. Coming up in just a few minutes, we head into the free speech zone, where your calls and comments are welcome on any subject, from any viewpoint, from anywhere within the sound of my voice. You can call me toll-free, 888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. Every week we visit with Melanie Sloan. She's the Executive Director of Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. CREW, if you like the acronym, on the web at citizensforethics.org. Hello, Melanie.
Hi, Peter.
Do you keep any extra cash in your freezer?
I don't, but I'm starting to feel like I should.
Well, it's interesting because when you do talk radio, sometimes you look for topics just to relieve the stress of the heavy-duty stuff. And over the years, a few times, I've introduced the subject of just asking people to call up and tell me where they hide their money. And quite a few people do use coffee cans, a special book on a shelf that they often forget the title of. And some people like to keep their cold cash in the freezer. I know a woman in Detroit who has a couple of $1,000s in her freezer at all times. But that's chump change compared to Congressman William Jefferson.
I know, $90,000 in the freezer. They're wondering where the missing $10,000 is because there was originally $100,000. But they, we've been talking about the fact that he had cash in his freezer. That news came out months ago, but we didn't know the amount until the FBI released an affidavit in support of a search warrant to search Mr. Jefferson's Capitol Hill office this past weekend. And that's when it came out not only about the $90,000, but they have him not just on tape soliciting bribes, but they have him on videotape soliciting bribes.
Now, first to the petty details, is there more than one freezer?
As far as I know, still only one, and it was in his Louisiana home.
Okay, so have they searched his residence in D.C.?
They've now searched everything. They've searched his residence. I remember a few months ago they searched his car, and now they searched the Capitol Hill office, which is a first in history, searching the office of a sitting congressman.
That has produced protests from people like Dennis Hastert and Bill Frist, who must be delighted that there's a Democrat who's got real serious ethical problems that distract from all the Republicans who have real serious ethical problems. But there's Frist and Hastert saying, wait a minute, Mr. Attorney General, this crosses a line.
I know. You know, it's funny because Mr. Jefferson was not going into this with any political capital, and pretty much, you know, everybody was distancing them from him. And this was, in my mind, a big mistake on the part of the Attorney General to do this, because suddenly people who would never speak up for Bill Jefferson are suddenly speaking up for him, because and sympathy is on his side, because it seems pretty outrageous to search a Capitol Hill office. Now, I'm of two minds about it. First, I don't think a member of Congress should be treated any differently than anybody else. If my office and your office can be searched, I think their office can be searched. But on the other hand, if you are the very first time they choose to do it is against William Jefferson, just so happens to be a black Democrat from Louisiana, and they didn't ever search the office of Randy Duke Cunningham, the white Republican from California who put his bribe menu on congressional stationery and was basically selling his office. He was trading earmarks for cash from defense contractors. But somehow they didn't see fit to search his office. So, you know, I just will say that I think that's a little questionable, that if they didn't do it there, that suddenly they decided to do it here.
And Gonzalez and Justice Department have not really explained why they had to go in on a Saturday night. The investigators stayed overnight in the office, leaving sometime around noon or 1 p.m. on Sunday, Washington time. And they easily could have put a guard at the door or sealed the office to wait for business hours on Monday. But they seem to be rushing to get into the office and also to break out details for public consumption on their investigation to date.
Yes, and again, I think that all of that makes it a little more suspicious and is what causes so many members of Congress so much concern about this. I don't think they're, you know, it's funny, this is a branch of government, the Congress, which has not shown any interest, at least not the Republicans, in the overreaching of executive power in the past few years, and yet suddenly, now, they believe that the executive has overreached, and they're concerned about that. So I guess only when the executive is looking at corruption in Congress does Congress think executive power might be a problem.
Wow. We have double standards there.
Yeah.
Now, back to your comparison between the treatment of Jefferson and the treatment of Cunningham. We have an unconfirmed source indicating that there was a cache of weapons in Duke Cunningham's office. Any weapons found in Mr. Jefferson's office?
No, and I feel quite certain that given how much information they've been sharing with us, that the Justice Department would have shared that if they'd found such a thing.
Yeah. And have you heard any corroboration on Cunningham having weapons in his office?
I haven't heard that widely yet, but, you know, that doesn't mean it isn't true, so we just don't know about that. Another thing on this Jefferson matter is that it does seem like the Justice Department really had an awfully good case before this search. You really have to wonder what they thought they could possibly get that they didn't already have. They had $90,000 in cash in the man's freezer. They have him on videotape taking, soliciting bribes, and they have two people who've already pleaded guilty to bribing him. You know, I'm a former prosecutor, and that's an incredibly strong case. So what they felt was so important that they needed to go into his office in the middle of the night to get, you know, I really question that.
The congressman defended himself yesterday, saying there are always two sides to the story, and I just can't wait to hear his side.
Yeah, you know, there are two sides to most stories, but I just cannot imagine what side of the story allows you to have $90,000 after you were so, and you were, and maybe you had $90,000 of your own money and that's how you're storing it, but we also know because he's on videotape taking cash, taking $100,000 from this complaining witness from Virginia. They have the actual cash transfer on tape.
And also, aren't they marked bills, and they've been able to confirm that these are the bills that were passed to him? It didn't come from a win at the racetrack? Or...
Yes, I believe that's true, too. So all of this means, you know, that the last person I'm defending is William Jefferson. I firmly believe William Jefferson is going to jail for bribery. But on the other hand, that still doesn't mean that the Justice Department, I think that the Attorney General Gonzalez still has some explaining to do.
All right, let's cross the aisle with Melanie Sloan here from Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. John Doolittle from the Northern California District. He is a Republican congressman with close ties to Abramoff. What's the latest on Doolittle?
You know, it seems like not 3 days go by without another Doolittle story. Well, first we learned that John Doolittle was using his campaign contributions to pay his babysitters. This is particularly ironic given that Mr. Doolittle makes about $165,000 and his wife then brings in about $100,000 and she brings in this money by skimming campaign contributions in the first place. She is his fundraiser and 15% of every dollar goes to her. So let's say that Doolittles conservatively have this income of $265,000 a year, but still they can't pay their own babysitter. They're using campaign contributions to pay the babysitter. I'm looking forward to him explaining that to his constituents, why they need to pay their own babysitters.
It's amazing. Anything of substance moving his case along?
You know, there's been some more news lately about some of his top aides and the spouse of one of them who also took in more than $300,000 over 5 years in consulting fees for Mr. Doolittle's reelection campaign committee and his leadership PAC. So, you know, I think the case is just sort of slowly building against Doolittle. There's just more and more that looks bad for him.
Also, we understand that tomorrow the trial will open for David Safavian. He was an official in the General Services Administration, right?
That's right. David Safavian was a top official in the General Services Administration, the chief of staff, and what he's been indicted for is making false statements and obstructing justice about his relationship with Jack Abramoff. Back in 2002, he went on a golf trip to Scotland with Jack Abramoff, Ralph Reed, Representative Bob Ney, also soon to be indicted, and already convicted former Ney chief of staff Neil Volz. And he went on that trip, and when he went, he cleared it with the ethics folks at GSA by saying that he didn't do any work with Abramoff. Abramoff had no business in front of GSA, General Services Administration. But as it turns out, there are tons and tons of email between Safavian and Jack Abramoff showing that, in fact, Abramoff had a lot of business before the General Services Administration, which is the government's top procurement office, and also leases and sells all sorts of properties. And Abramoff was constantly trying to get land and get limousines and get all sorts of things from GSA. And who would he call but his good friend, David Safavian? So Safavian lied about his relationship with Abramoff, and now he's going to trial. So he's the first person to go to trial in an Abramoff-related matter, and it will be really interesting to see who testifies.
And do you think they'll be able to compartmentalize this and limit it to Safavian, or do you think some of the others who went golfing will be implicated in a similar way?
You know, that's a good question. Right now, apparently, Justice does not plan to call Jack Abramoff to the stand, and there's a good reason for that. Somebody who makes a deal with the department, who becomes a cooperator, always is open to what we call impeachment. The defense will go after his credibility, saying he's just saying these things about David Safavian to save his own skin to get a better sentence. Neil Volz, the former chief of staff to Bob Ney, may also testify. So it's sort of up in the air exactly what case the government's going to put out there. But I think that they're going to try and put on as minimal a case as they can, because Bob Ney has said that he wants to go to trial. So the government isn't going to want to lay out its whole case for Bob Ney's attorney right now.
Very interesting. Well, we'll follow this closely. Thanks for the update, Melanie.
Always my pleasure, Peter.
Melanie Sloan, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. Get more info from their website, Citizens for Ethics. That's citizensforethics.org. Next, we head into the free speech zone. I want to talk about two issues related to Senator Feinstein, her sorry vote for General Hayden today, and her new ideas about immigration policy. That's coming up next, and I'd like to hear from you. 831-899-5792 for the Central Coast, or toll-free from anywhere else. Call me on 888-579-2540. You got that? 888-579-2540. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
He's not just another gardener in another garden. Dave Egbert is the Coastal Gardener. Follow Dave each week to unique destination gardens and nurseries. Discover creek plants, garden tips, and fun celebrity garden visits.
Join Dave, the Coastal Gardener, every Sunday at 6:30 p.m. on ABC7.
Monta Vista Wine and Spirits in Monterey has everything you need, from high-end liquor to the very best in fine wines. It's the real deal. Family-owned for over 40 years, John will give you one-on-one personal attention, just like family. Have a special request? Not a problem. Open every day from 9 to 9. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is located on Soledad Drive in Monta Vista Village, near the Del Monte Center. Look for Doug Huckleberry, who greets you at the door. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits wants you to please drink responsibly.
It's Behind the Wheel, the Consumer New Car Review. I'm Peter B. Collins. This week, I've been behind the wheel of the 2006 Jeep Commander 4x4, a 7-passenger SUV that's roomier than the Cherokee. My demo has a 3.7-liter V6 and a 5-speed automatic with full-time all-wheel drive. The Commander is a solid SUV with a comfy suspension, holds the road well, and accelerates pretty well for an SUV. Well-priced compared to the competition, my demo has a good accessory package, but it's not all leathered up and there's no DVD player for the kids. It's a roomy, solid, practical 4x4, and you should test drive it before you buy a Range Rover or other luxury SUV. By the numbers, the 2006 Jeep Commander gets 16 miles in the city, 19 on the highway, and stickers in California for about $30,000. Behind the wheel, I'm Peter B. Collins.
Down boy.
KRXA 540 checks your traffic. It's been kind of a zoo out there this afternoon. And we get the latest from Metro Diane.
All the animals, they seem to be back in their fences. We do have some accidents to tell you about, though. Aptos, northbound Highway 1 after Soquel Drive. We have an injury accident blocking the left-hand lane there. In Hollister, Highway 25 at Shore Road, keep your eyes open. A large piece of metal in the roadway there. Also an injury accident in San Juan Bautista, Highway 156 at Bixie Road. Two vehicles involved in this one, and they are blocking the roadway. No word exactly which lane, though. In Soledad, northbound 101 after Soledad State Prison, we have a solo spin out there. This report is brought to you by McDonald's. McDonald's makes mornings a little easier with the Sausage McMuffin, the Spicy Sausage Burrito, and the Fruit and Yogurt Parfait on the dollar menu every day at participating McDonald's. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
I can't find nothing on the radio. You'll turn to that station.
Well, I'm glad you turned to that station, and we got something on the radio here.
The world is collapsing around our ears.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. We're in the free speech zone here for the remainder of this hour. Your calls are welcome, and the switchboard's wide open right now. So let me repeat the numbers, 831-899-5792 along the Central Coast. That saves me a dime. 831-899-5792. Elsewhere, call us toll-free at 888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. We do accept calls from cell phones, Blackberries, Trios, and any other kind of device. I want to read you a statement here from Senator Dianne Feinstein. I was disappointed that General Hayden was not more forthcoming in the open confirmation hearing on the NSA warrantless domestic surveillance program and on his own views on detention, interrogation, and rendition policies. The American people are appropriately concerned about both issues and deserved more forthcoming answers. I felt that General Hayden should have stated clearly in full public view whether he believes that certain interrogation techniques constitute torture. Now, I've lifted that out of context on purpose. That is the, what we would call an apologia, that follows the statement of her decision to vote for confirmation of General Michael Hayden as director of the Central Intelligence Agency. And she was joined by all the other Democrats on the committee, save three. Russ Feingold of Wisconsin, Ron Wyden of Oregon, and surprise to me, one of the most centrist conservative Democrats in the Senate, Evan Bayh of Indiana. And Feinstein made it sound like she was going to vote against Hayden's nomination. She made it sound like a constitutional crisis was facing us, and I agree, it is. But then she whiffed. Now, on to another point about Senator Feinstein, and I'd like to get your reaction to her service. She's trying to persuade the Senate to adopt a program that is different from the Kennedy-McCain bill that seems to have the most momentum in the upper house right now. And she is promoting an idea for an orange card instead of a green card. An orange card would be for immigrants who do not have citizenship rights, but who are here, and it would essentially legalize their presence. She wants all illegal immigrants in the U.S. as of January 1st of this year to immediately register a preliminary application with Homeland Security, submit fingerprints, undergo criminal and national security background checks, and then down the road they'll get an orange card. Now, I want to be fair that I think the senator is trying to do a good job of building consensus around policies that are at least more practical than the draconian recommendations in the House Sensenbrenner bill, and even in some of the measures included in Kennedy-McCain. As you may know, under the current Kennedy-McCain bill, some 2.8 million people would have to leave the country. Those who've been here 2 to 5 years, and proving that is a difficult issue, but they'd have to leave the country before they could come back on a new guest worker visa. And those who have been here less than 2 years would be subject to immediate deportation. Now, given those measures, Feinstein seems rational and reasonable. And she fully understands that we're not going to deport millions of people, and that millions of people are not going to submit to deportation. After all, they've been underground this long. Why would they step out of the shadows? All right, in step two of the orange process, an immigrant would submit a full application for an orange card in person. You have to show your work history and presence in the U.S. Of course, if you've been doing that secretly, you've destroyed all that evidence. You have to pass a criminal and national security background check, demonstrate understanding of English, U.S. history, and civics. That'll put them ahead of most Americans. Pay back taxes and a $2,000 fine. Then you get an orange card with a picture and a thumbprint, and it's encrypted, and you could travel freely and work in this country. And then you would renew that each year for a $50 fee. So while I think there are a lot of holes you can shoot into Feinstein's proposal, it is more sensible on its face than what's currently circulating in the U.S. Senate. Let's get your comments. First up, Marcia in Monterey. Welcome to the program. You're on the air, Marcia.
Hi, Peter. How you doing?
I'm okay today.
Okay, I'm a first-time caller, so I'm a little nervous.
Well, welcome. Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're on the air.
Anyway, I'm really mad at Dianne. I mean, I'm tomorrow morning, I'm going to call up the DNC and stop my payments that they take out of my checking account every month. until they start, you know, working for us again.
Well, I think that's an important move. What motivated you to let them deduct money from your account every month to begin with?
Well, I've been a lifelong Democrat. I'm like 58 years old, and I've always worked. You know, every election, I go out and knock on doors. I mean, precinct captain, and you know, I've just.
Well, I appreciate your involvement and your activism.
And I have been. I've been active in a lot of their events and stuff, but. You know, they're not fighting for us. They're not doing anything.
Marcia, I think they take us for granted.
I know they do.
They respond to the right. They respond to the Republican agenda, and they basically try to tell us to sit down and be quiet because we're going to mess everything up.
You're right, and you know what? The only thing I think they also respond to is money. And if you withdraw your money, maybe they'll start listening to you.
Well, unfortunately, that's true.
And but this Hayden guy's already been confirmed.
Just by the committee. It goes to the full Senate, and that's where it'll be rubber stamped, because I don't see enough Republican defectors surfacing to stop it, and the Democrats don't have the majority. Marcia, if you want to say something else, I'll hold you over through the break.
No, that's okay. I just wanted to get that off.
First-time caller, you survived. Thanks a lot. More of your calls coming up next in the Free Speech Zone. Grab a line now, 888-579-2540. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
So tell me, Norma, just who is this Robert Owen who is running for sheriff of Monterey County?
Robert Owen lives in Soledad, and he has 30 years of experience in law enforcement. Robert Owen is a Monterey County jail sergeant who has dedicated his life to protect and serve every Monterey County resident. Robert Owen is a devoted and loving father of 5 children. I should know because Robert Owen is my husband, and he will be the finest sheriff Monterey County has ever had.
Paid for by Robert Owen, candidate for Monterey County Sheriff.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichorn, owner of Eichorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special, and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet Radio Show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and fun in the Monterey Bay Area. I interview authors, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make Monterey and our region such a delicious slice of our tasty planet. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
This is Frank Don. on Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 AM from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
Hi, this is Ed Schultz, America's number one progressive talker. Join me every weekday from noon to 3 here on KRXA 540. I'm based in Fargo, North Dakota, and we bring you news and views from the heartland of America. I'm fighting the righties every day on behalf of the working people who've made the nation great. Tell your friends to listen. Give me a call toll-free, 1-877-934-6833. The Ed Schultz Show, noon to 3 on KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. Drive carefully now, will you? It's the Free Speech Zone here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Your calls and comments are welcome this very moment. 831-899-5792 is our number for the Central Coast. And if you're calling from Eureka or you're listening on a computer anywhere in this great land, you can call me on 888-579-2540, toll free, 888-579-2540. And I've got a lot of things I want to talk about, but Joan's holding. She's in Eureka. We're going to go right to her call. Hello, Joan. You're on the air.
Hello, Peter. Very nice to talk to you. I'm a first-time caller, and I listen to your show every day.
Well, thank you.
And I enjoy it very much.
Well, I'm glad you took the time to call today. What provoked you, Joan?
Dianne Feinstein provoked me, and I heard Marcia call in, and I thought, wow, Marcia, we're the same age and everything, and I'm a lifelong Democrat, and I am really upset at Dianne, and I think Dianne's got to go. I don't know how we can get her out of there, but it's very disappointing.
Well, let me pull up an email here, because if you want to send a message to Dianne Feinstein, I will be very candid with you. She is going to win the primary, and she is going to win re-election in November. But one way to register your disapproval is to vote for one of the other candidates on the ballot. And let's see, Paula from Eureka emailed me yesterday, and she is going to vote for Colleen Fernald, a progressive peace activist, environmental advocate, and challenger to Feinstein in the June 6th Democratic primary. So there's an opportunity for you to use your vote to send that message to the senator, because she's expecting to get a huge Democratic support, probably in the 80% range, and anything below 60% registers with an incumbent as, whoa, they're trying to tell me something.
Well, if she'd listen. Just very disappointing, someone like her, when you have people like Russ Feingold sticking their necks out every day. And, yeah, I guess it's up to the Democrats to try to do something about all this. And if you have people like her that are going to be slacking, and I just don't get it at all, what's up with her.
Well, I wish that we had a progressive candidate in California, the equivalent of Ned Lamont, who's challenging Joe Lieberman in Connecticut. I've talked to Lamont a couple of times, and he comes across as a very strong progressive. He is a self-made millionaire, earned his money in the cable TV business, and he garnered last Friday at the state convention in Connecticut 33% of the vote of the delegates, and he only needed 15% to get on the ballot. And it is sufficient to cause Lieberman supporters to consider having him re-register as an independent and vacate his membership in the Democratic Party. Now, on the one hand, I would welcome that as truth in packaging. On the other hand, I would like to see Senator Lieberman retired, because he has really, I think, disserved the Democratic voters who elected him from Connecticut, and disappointed so many of us who voted for him as the vice presidential standard bearer for Democrats in 2000.
Yes, I agree. I wanted to mention there was a really good article in the Chronicle today about the whole fiasco with the NSA. Very good article.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that because I'm going to talk about the NSA next. Thanks for your call today.
Okay,
Joan's a first-timer, and do it again, will you, Joan?
Yes, and thank you, Marcia.
Okay, and thanks to Marcia in Santa Cruz, too. Or let me check. Marcia's, where is Marcia? Monterey. I moved her down the coast a little ways. Tomorrow, I just received this email a few minutes ago, has been designated a National Day of Outrage, or just a National Day of Rage. And this has been organized kind of on the fly by two groups, Save Access, which I'm not familiar with, and FAIR, which I am familiar with. That's F-A-I-R, Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting. Steve Randall of that organization was on our show just last week. And tomorrow, what is being called a Great Unsponsored Protest will assemble on the Central Coast at the Window on the Bay area in Monterey. That's Del Monte Avenue at El Estero. And it's going to be going on from 5 to 7 p.m. So if you attend that tomorrow, I want to encourage you to call us here in the Free Speech Zone, and you can give us a live and personal report from this protest. And this is a protest aimed at the NSA's massive database of Americans' phone calls and a protest against the telephone company's bid to control the Internet. And these are two issues that certainly are very important and timely right now. And we're going to find out between now and tomorrow if any other protests are scheduled. But we do know this one in the Monterey area will be from 5 to 7 p.m. tomorrow. And the email reads, we are protesting the telco-driven congressional legislation that endangers public access centers and channels, threatens to redline communities, and undermines an open Internet by not protecting net neutrality. Number two, telco collusion with the NSA to illegally violate the privacy of tens of millions of Americans. Three, the telco campaign to buy off state house and congressional representatives to push their legislation through. Number four, the telco policy of using AstroTurf groups to push their deceptions on the public. Well, telephone companies aren't alone in that, but it is a pernicious practice. And finally, the mergers and takeovers within the telco industry that have resulted in the loss of tens of thousands of jobs. And, of course, it's made it easy for the government to go to these consolidated telephone companies and get the kind of collaboration that they're looking for. So I think this will be very interesting, and I want to urge you to call and email friends, and maybe we can even get some of our activists in the Eureka area to put together a companion event tomorrow from 5 to 7 p.m. And if you would like to receive more information about this, drop me an email, peter@peterbcollins.com, and I can forward this along to you. That's peter@peterbcollins.com. 40 minutes past the hour. No callers on the line right now, but you could be next if you give me a buzz at 899-5792 on the Central Coast, or toll-free, 888-579-2540. We've been talking about Senator Feinstein and what I consider to be her very poor vote in the committee, the Intelligence Committee, to support the confirmation of General Hayden. And here's another vote by both of our senators. Both Boxer and Feinstein were part of the 83-10 vote on an amendment related to the deployment of National Guard troops near the Mexican border. Not on it, but near the Mexican border. And listen to the fine print here. No tour of duty could last longer than 21 days. Troops would be excluded from search, seizure, arrest, or similar activity. They would support the border patrol by looking pretty and waving to the cameras. This is simply an extended photo op, and I wish our senators would stand up and say, this is bogus. Because if you send troops to the border, but they're not there to do anything, what the hell have we accomplished? It's a feel-good measure that appeases the far right in this country, but only a little. And as long as they're only a little appeased, I say screw them. And, we really should stand up and say no to this deployment of our overextended National Guard to meaningless activities along the border. They're essentially going to troop people from South Dakota and Illinois and every godforsaken state and force them to go down along the border where they'll do maneuvers or they'll clean their weapons or their vehicles. But they're not actually going to be standing along the border and blocking illegal immigration. Eugenia in Prunedale, you're next here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Thanks for your call.
Oh, hi.
Hello.
Is there going to be anybody marching against the having a war with Iran in that march?
Well, this event tomorrow is not really a march. It's a gathering.
A gathering. Somebody ought to be gathering up talking about Iran.
Well, Eugenia, I agree with you, and I'm going to declare you to be the Grand Marshal. Protest march, and let's march from Prunedale all the way to the coast.
To Moss Landing.
Yeah.
But, hey.
We'll have a fish fry when we get there.
I ran across something really interesting. If you get a chance, go to Google and Google in sovereign entity.
Okay.
Somehow or another, I picked up something just passing by the radio. And Bush was talking, and somebody had him stumped about sovereignty of I didn't even know what. But I heard him say sovereign entity, and I thought, that's interesting.
Was it a question about Native American tribes?
Well, it evidently was, because when I went to that website, there's a bunch of things on there.
Yeah, well, back in the 2004 campaign, there was this blooper where I believe it was a student, was permitted to ask a question of the president. And he asked a pretty broad question about, Native American tribes. Maybe it was about gambling. I don't know. And the president just, he was the deer in the headlights kind of guy. And he repeated himself, the tribes are sovereign, and we respect sovereignty. And, what part of sovereignty don't you understand? But it was one of those, real classic Bushisms where he not only didn't answer the question, but he made a fool of himself in the process.
But I think he also gave away his concept of power, of the power, the way he sees power. When you look at that website, one of the things that I've never got into any of the Muslim stuff. There's a site on there that explains the Quran and all, the faith and all the stuff about the Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I thought, well, hey, that's interesting. And under Allah, they consider Allah a sovereign entity. But there's a website in there about some kind of game. It's called Eve, and if they've got some little things written out to tell you about this game.
Yeah.
Oh, man, is that ever interesting.
I don't know about that. Tell me.
You need to somebody that plays games or has an older kid,
mm-hmm,
needs to get into that one, because are our kids being bombarded through the games with concepts that are foreign to us that could change the whole picture of the world? You look
well,
at that one.
The gaming world is a world of its own. And
well, honey, it could be used so. I want somebody to look at that.
All right, sugar. I got to run here, honey, but I want to thank you for the call, Eugenie. And during the break here, I did Google sovereign entity, and the number two response is about tribal sovereignty. So,
I saw that, but that's not even a big deal to me. It's the other stuff that's the big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to take a look. Got to run. Thanks for your call. That leaves a line open for you, Central Coast, 831-899-5792, or toll-free at 888-579-2540. I'd like to hear from you. A lot of first-time callers today, and you can be the next one right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichorn, owner of Eichorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special, and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
KRXA 540, with one more look at your traffic this afternoon, here's Metro Diane.
Well, still working on clearing up the accident in San Juan Batista. It's Highway 156 at Bixby Road. Two vehicles involved in this one. Both of them have been moved out of the roadway and onto the right-hand shoulder. So CHP on scene working on clearing that out. An earlier accident in Aptos, northbound Highway 1 after Soquel Drive. Two vehicles involved in that one. It has been cleared off to city streets. Checking the Santa Cruz Mounds, both directions of Highway 17, stall and accident-free. This report is brought to you by TomTom. TomTom Go is your portable, everyday GPS solution. Just tap the screen and a helpful voice guides you on your way. To learn more, visit TomTom.com. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thank you, Diane. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Sounds good.
Coming up right after 6 o'clock, the Reverend Barry Lynn argues for separation of church and state on Culture Shocks right here. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. We're in the home stretch here in the free speech zone. And there's still room for another caller or two. 831-899-5792 or toll free 888-579-2540. Isn't Google a wonderful thing as long as Google and the NSA don't share their files and their data? Thanks to Eugenia, I did pull up the quote. This is from August of 2004. The president was at the Unity Conference, Journalists of Color Convention, and one of the attendees stood up and asked him about tribal sovereignty. And his quote was, "Tribal sovereignty means just that. It's sovereign. You've been given sovereignty. And you're viewed as a sovereign entity." And then, of course, he wiped his brow and listened real closely to that earpiece that's plugged into that gizmo on his back. A couple other things I wanted to mention. Sunday's New York Times had a great back page of the Week in Review with a diagram, kind of a scorecard, of the Jack Abramoff web. And I thought of this but forgot to mention it when Melanie Sloan was on with us earlier this hour. But it's a great piece, and if you haven't recycled the Times, it's available to you, or maybe you have online access. It really shows the web of Abramoff, Brent Wilkes, and the various members of Congress and staffers who they had relationships with, many of which we believe were improper, if not illegal. And it helps you understand how Congressman Jerry Lewis of the Appropriations Committee and his old buddy, former Congressman Bill Lowry, worked to advance the interests of Brent Wilkes, the lobbyist, and his clients at our expense. Donna in Big Sur, thanks for holding. You're next here on the PBC show. Good afternoon.
Hi, Peter B. It's your faithful listener in Big Sur.
Howdy.
Never give it up.
Well,
call
thank
once
you.
In a while. But I felt I had to at this point because not that you know, not that the immigration situation or the NSA or any of the topics on the front page are not valid. They are all valid. However, after watching two nights ago, I don't know if you saw it or not, or if any of your listeners did, I watched Baghdad ER.
I didn't watch it.
Well, I'll tell you, you watch that and you will see that the main thing that is going on right now is the situation in Iraq. It is beyond belief. It is, I'm sure you watched MASH sometimes.
It's been a few years, but
yeah.
I did watch it when it was
well,
on.
Well, this is MASH in Live in Living Color. And the doctors and nurses there are on 24/7. They're doing an amazing job with these people who are being destroyed by these IEDs. And they even have some of the colonels and majors who are doctors say, this war is insane. We need to get out of here. And I just wanted to put that across to the people who are listening and to you.
Mm-hmm. So one of the reasons I didn't watch it, I mean, I knew it was on, and I thought it was going to be a propaganda piece.
No,
they, you know, use the drama of a military, you know, emergency facility to try to, you know, promote some of the myths of the Bush administration.
Not at all. They actually had colonels, majors, and captains who were doctors. If you could see, you have to see this. You have to get a copy of this, whatever you have to do. These people not only were doing their job, they were describing everything the way it goes day to day in Baghdad. And if more people would watch this, they would say, let's get out of there.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to pass that on. And
all right. Well, I appreciate it, Donna, because, like I say, I ducked the show. I thought it was going to be kind of crappy or cheesy.
It was not crappy or cheesy.
I thank you for that viewpoint.
It's one of the best documentaries I've seen on this war ever. And, you know, a lot of people wanted to duck it, not you, but there was other people in my life who have been in Vietnam War, and they watched it for about 10 minutes,
mm-hmm.
and they couldn't because they started crying.
Yeah.
So.
All right.
Okay.
I always appreciate it, Donna. Thanks
right.
for the call today.
Yep.
It's interesting what I can learn from listeners, and this is one of the things that makes doing a talk show so satisfying for me, because like anybody else, you know, I have my own biases, and I absorb as much media as I can, but I draw the line at programs that I think are either propaganda or exploitive, and I just, you know, I read the blurbs on the Baghdad ER, and I just thought, oh, you know, this is going to be embarrassing or something along that order. So, Donna, thank you for watching and passing that along. I subscribe to emails from various right-wing groups, and one of them that fascinates me, you may have never heard of before. It has the nice AstroTurf name of the American Center for Law and Justice. It's run by a guy named Jay Sekulow, and it is funded by the Reverend Pat Robertson. And they're out there working to advance their religious values in our legal system in this country. And so here comes just the latest fundraising appeal on the backs of a very important court case. And it reads, Dear Peter, it's time for the Supreme Court to hear what you have to say. We are filing our amicus brief in Gonzalez versus Carhart today. This is undeniably one of the most crucial pro-life cases to reach the Supreme Court of the United States since Roe v. Wade. And we still need your immediate help. They want money in order to wrap up our preparations and present an unbeatable case. And then there's a link to where I can drop off some cash. Now, here's what really offends me. The next two lines. The opposition, National Abortion Federation, NARAL, Pro-Choice America, ACLU, Planned Parenthood, and the National Organization for Women, continue to pour money into a multi-million-dollar abortion lobby. They are bringing an inordinate amount of money to this case because the substantial profits of the multi-billion-dollar abortion industry are at stake. Now, that is so twisted. It is so untrue. And it so deeply mischaracterizes the motivation of people who fight for a woman's right to choose a baby or an abortion, that it really is so deeply offensive, I guess I have a hard time coming up with another way to describe it. The profits of the multi-million dollar abortion industry are at stake? I'm sorry. If there are substantial profits of the abortion industry, I don't know about them. What I do know is that women have fought and suffered, and that women have been brutalized, women have been exploited, and women have died as they sought to end a pregnancy that they could not carry to term for whatever reasons. And those are personal reasons, and it's my belief that neither I nor you nor Jay Sekulow has the right to tell a woman what to do if she is pregnant. And to try to suggest that the motivation here of the ACLU, NARAL, and NOW, and Planned Parenthood is to preserve profits, is to apply the point of view of Jay Sekulow and the right wing to the work of others. Because they're motivated by money, because they believe that they can profit from their extreme political and legal positions. They assume that the other side has the same lack of values, the same level of moral corruption that they do. And that's my final thought for today, because Trigger's here and I gotta go. Thanks for listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. We'll be back at you tomorrow, same time, same station.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
This is KRXA 540 AM General Manager Hal Ginsberg with an important announcement about an exciting change in our weekday morning lineup. Casey, cut it out. This is very important. I'm trying to tell people about the show, our new program following Stephanie Miller weekday mornings.
First of all, you're going to have to wake people up, Hal.
Haha, very funny. Just what we would expect from the number one morning news anchor in Sand City. So join Hal and Casey for the show.
I thought it was going to be Casey and Hal.
I changed it, which is my prerogative.
Your what?
Look it up! And please, join us weekday mornings from 9 to 10 for the show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Chris Mavridis. Another audio tape circulated on the internet. Where it came from is a mystery. Who it is slightly less than one. They think this is Osama bin Laden, delivering a very up-to-date and interesting message. The voice on the tape says Zacharias Moussaoui, the guy who got life in prison, the guy who insisted he was Al-Qaeda, was not part of the 9/11 plot. So if this actually is bin Laden, why would he come out and say that?
The reason that Osama bin Laden has come out several times recently is to say, look, I'm still there, I'm still a threat, I'm still in charge of this organization, and you guys have to deal with me.
Terror expert Neil Livingston says it's all about maintaining a public presence and control of Al-Qaeda.
The leader of the Iraqi insurgency, Zarqawi, recently seemed to be making a bid to set himself up as the chief rallying point in the war against the United States.
They're still not certain that this tape is in fact bin Laden. Think of being stiffed at the pump? A lot of Americans do, but the Federal Trade Commission looked into price gouging and didn't find any.
Obviously, I'm disappointed. I think this is an agency that has lost its teeth, a toothless federal agency.
North Dakota Senator Byron Dorgan accuses the FTC of lying through, well, none of its teeth and siding with the oil companies, and said, We all know what happened at Baghdad's Abu Ghraib prison. Now an army MP who worked as a dog handler is facing court-martial for his alleged role in mistreating those prisoners.
In opening statements, prosecutors portrayed Cardona as a corrupt cop who'd threatened detainees with dogs that were, quote, going nuts, all for fun and games, they said. The defense contended Cardona did nothing wrong, that the chain of command all the way to the Pentagon favored using dogs to intimidate detainees because of what one lawyer called a desperate need to get better intelligence.
That's CBS's Barry Bagnato. After Peter Jennings died, ABC had a tough decision to make. Who should take over World News Tonight? In January, the new team of Elizabeth Vargas and Bob Woodruff debuted, but a few weeks later, he was injured in Iraq.
This is World News Tonight.
And the show went on.
Reporting from ABC News headquarters, Elizabeth Vargas.
Not anymore.
It's been an honor and a privilege bringing you the news every night, and the only thing that makes this transition